much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Have you ever wanted to lick your cat? Now you can, without the fur balls. Introducing Licky Breath.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So, you moved the swimming pool?
Yeah, it just felt like it was way too far from the house, like crazy far. So I had this company come and just move it closer.
But then you moved it back?
Yeah, turns out the guy who built this place knew exactly what he was doing, and the pool was right where it needed to be the whole time. But now I know that for sure, which feels good.
Do you like being wealthy?
Yeah, oh man, it's awesome.
So you want to stay wealthy?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Stop moving this one in.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What's going on over here, Mom?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, good, you wouldn't belong to Rush, but...
Roll another one.
Yep, it's almost Christmas time.
Just like the other one.
That totally makes sense.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Suck on that, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
I'm sorry for the realness.
Roll another one.
Dad, what does this mean?
Just like the other one.
I want to be your boyfriend.
This one seems to be about.
But I've got herpes in my butt.
I don't have another cent.
Oh, yeah, sexy lady. That's my type right there.
The one got that joint.
Yeah, it's tick-tock, tick-tock.
Just pass it around.
Your voice sounds stupid.
But the one got that joint, my friend.
Good morning, douchebag.
And now.
At Trump University, we teach success. That's what it's all about. Success. It's going to happen to you.
Our feature presentation.
Well, I certainly hope so. It'd be a nice change, right?
It would be a good change of pace.
It's going to be good, man. President Trump's going to make us all successful and rich.
You realize what you're saying, like, could happen.
No, I know. Look, you got to ease into it. You don't want to not be told you have cancer and then just wake up one day and die. You want some heads up. You want some warning. You want some time to ruminate on it. Think about it.
That actually is a great way of describing Trump.
Get your affairs in order. Yeah. I got to start some affairs first, though. That's the problem. Welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Friday, the 3rd of June. Today is National Donut Day. I feel like we will not enjoy it like we normally would because Beer Mug's not here today. But he would have been all about that, wouldn't he?
Rest in peace.
Mug's, you know, I think he's still alive. I think he's alive, okay. And he's coming back.
All right.
But he'd be out every 15 minutes for donuts if he were here today.
Yeah, he would.
This
yummy.
Is his, yeah, right? This is his big day of the whole year, National Donut Day. How are you, Allie?
I'm doing great, Bean. You?
Doing fine.
Okay. Do you want to talk about it?
I know you're going to want to talk about the Mariners coming back from 10 runs down last night. They were down 10 runs in the fifth inning and came back and won.
Oh,
wait a minute.
No.
That was awfully fast.
The phone is ringing.
That was one sentence on baseball.
It's one sentence too much, a lot of us might say.
At one point, they had 7 singles in a row with 2 outs. Pretty remarkable stuff. Ended up winning 16-13. Real pitcher's duel. So you want to talk about that probably. Allie, come back to me.
Bean, I don't. I really don't.
All right, I got a story for you guys I think you're going to like. We go to the previously unheard of, to me anyway, city of Orwigsburg. Perhaps Ralph has heard of Orwigsburg. It's in Pennsylvania. And this is a company. It's a grocery store called Cressona. And they realized recently that something hinky was going on with the books. And perhaps maybe somebody was skimming a little bit. So they started to investigate, and they set up some cameras, and they found out that they had a whole lot of bad eggs working for the grocery store there. They had a woman named Joan Lechtner, who is 51 years old. Her fiancé, Carrie Titus, 54, they were working there, and she had a couple of kids that were working there. And they had figured out a way to adjust the books. One of them is a bookkeeper, and the others are employees at the stores that run registers. And they figured out a way to fake returns. So they would buy things, but not really, and then return them and take cash out as refunds.
Oh.
So it was fraud and deception and receiving stolen property and all that bad stuff that they were doing for some time. In fact, maybe they overdid it because they ended up stealing over $175,000 over the course of 6 months.
Over 6 months?
Yes.
And Come on.
You're begging to be caught.
You are so greedy.
Isn't the first rule of embezzlement is to make it tiny amounts and embezzle for a long time, right?
I believe that is the first rule.
I mean, that's how I would do it. You're asking for – look, I don't know anything about how the grocery business works, but I think in a small town in Pennsylvania, you're running a family grocery store. I think $175,000 is going to be missed.
Absolutely.
I think you're asking for it. So they set up video cameras, and they found out that this is what they were doing when customers were not in the store. They would make these fake returns and then take money from the cash register and ringing up false sales returns. The reason this story has made the news, though, and the reason this is more than just another employee, ripping off his company, is that upon investigation that they realized that the lottery ticket that Joan Lechtner bought a couple of months ago in Pennsylvania that won over $1 million was bought with stolen funds.
Oh, man.
And it looks like the lottery is going to be able to deny the money. How about that?
What?
Looks like they're going to say, hey, stolen funds, not your money.
So she won the lottery.
Yes, $1,047,618.
And remained working at the store?
It remained working at the store. Yes, she did.
Wow.
They bought a pickup truck with part of the money and used the money to buy a lot of other things as well. But I guess this probably isn't the lottery clamping down on them. This is probably the police, I would imagine, seizing the winnings because they were bought with stolen money. So how dumb is this lady and her family? Like, they made every rookie mistake with this, right?
Ugh. First rule of embezzlement. I mean.
See, we learned a little stuff on the show today, didn't we? But I love the fact that they were – look, you don't want bad people to get away with bad things. I love the fact that not long ago, they were rolling deep in their new pickup truck. And they were like, oh, man, we've got the golden – the chicken that lays the golden eggs, and this is going to last forever. And look how much money we can rip off from this store. This will never end. Oh, my God. Blessing on top of blessing. We just won a freaking $1 million with the lottery. We're awesome. And now, hopefully, they'll be broken in jail for a long time. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Rodney. Yeah. It's interesting that the whole family was in on it. Like, yes. What a gross, gross little scammer time.
Yeah. It would be nice if somebody had stood up and said, hey, maybe not, Mom. Maybe not.
Right?
So anyway,
and it's especially nice. After winning the lottery, maybe back off.
Maybe
a
you're
bit.
Fine. You're
yes.
good.
You would think so.
Oh, greedy
but
bastards.
Not so much. So nice job, you guys. Nice job. All right, let's talk about today's outstanding Kevin Beecher, shall we?
You know how things are these days.
Well, I do. They're busy, Rodney, is how they are today. I don't know how we're going to cram all this into one show, but we are in the 6 o'clock hour going to give you tickets. The hottest ticket in town is Prophets of Rage at the Hollywood Palladium. We've got a way that you can win them coming up in less than 1 hour from right now. You going to go tonight, by the way, Allie?
I believe Chip and I are going.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Girl time. Woo, woo.
That's an unbelievable.
What are you going to wear, Chip? Help. What do you think?
We don't need, actually, we don't have to.
Do I have to stand next to you, though?
Oh, yeah.
Megan Fox on the program today, you guys. She is back in another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, so we'll talk to her about that. We do have Josh Dunn from the band 21 Pilots with a big announcement for us today. One of the best live bands working today. It'd be great to talk to Josh. Our old friend, actress, and now director, Amber Tamblyn, on the program today, talking about her new film. And we've been looking forward to this for a long time. We just finished Fear the Walking Dead last week, and now Robert Kirkman's new series called Outcast is getting ready to premiere on Cinemax. And it is,
God.
You know what he did for zombies? Now he's doing it for Satan and exorcisms. So he is back with a new series based on his comic book, Outcast. So we love Robert Kirkman. Looking forward to catching up with him on that. And comedian Ben Glebe as well.
Wait, this is all today?
This is all in one show, yeah. This is all things we hope to accomplish between now and 10 a.m., yes.
I don't know.
It sounds like a lot to me, too. But we'll get started with our friend Ralph Graham and the Showbiz Beat coming up next right after this on K-Rock. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Had a delightful visit from Beck yesterday with his brand new song called Wow. If you were not able to join us late in the show, we'll have some highlights of that for you coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, on a Friday morning, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Where's he at?
Who are you talking about here, Mr. Garvin?
Beck.
Oh, because I get it. No, I get it. Yeah. A little slow on that one. Sorry.
You don't get it.
Are you extra high in your chair today?
Yes. I'm a big boy now.
Oh. Okay. Carry on.
We mentioned towards the end of the show yesterday, but in case you missed it, news has been reported from Prince's autopsy and toxicology report that he did indeed die from an accidental overdose of a synthetic opioid called fentanyl. Fentanyl is some hardcore stuff, yo.
Yeah. I've not had this.
It is used legally to treat people with severe pain, often after surgery, but is a hardcore opioid.
Is it like a super oxy, Ralph?
Well, the CDC says it's 50 times more potent than heroin and 100 times more powerful than morphine.
Wow.
It sounds like it's for when those drugs stop working.
Exactly. It is the... The superhero of painkillers.
Oh.
And in some forms, it can be deadly if it's touched. Often people need to use rubber gloves in order just to handle it. That's how powerful it is. Now, here's the thing. It can be taken through a patch. They have lollipops. Sometimes people in dire pain can only, you know, suck on a lollipop as a form of medication. But more often than not, it's injected. So no word on how Prince was using the drug, but boy, that's a super powerful, super serious opioid, and
it certainly sounds like the type of thing that would be required to be under the strictest doctor supervision.
Yes, maybe and perhaps like propofol would be another drug that need someone to watch you about. So.
And if he was taking a bunch of things from a bunch of pharmacies and a bunch of doctors. You know, and there was no oversight. It's no wonder he had that that reaction.
Yeah, it's just devastating, and it makes a sad story even sadder, the fact that he apparently was having issues with fentanyl. And you can imagine, if it's 50 times more potent than heroin, that the addictive properties must be equally powerful.
Oh, geez.
So you can imagine how difficult his life was towards the end. Let's move on to happier news, shall we? Taylor Swift is apparently miserable.
Oh.
After Calvin Harris broke up with her. Sources tell Us Weekly magazine that he was the one who called it quits, telling her things just weren't working anymore. And apparently, according to friends and co-workers, she is very upset. So, look, every cloud has a silver lining, right? We lost Prince, but at least you can go about your day today knowing Taylor Swift is miserable.
How dare
and that's got to make your day better.
How
right?
dare you?
It's just sad for anyone when they break up and her heart hurts. That's sad.
Nah, not for anyone.
Okay. No.
Think of the album she's going to get out of this.
Think of the album we're going to get out of this.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and in relationship news, apparently Khloe Kardashian dating Odell Beckham of the New York Giants.
Hmm.
Two wide receivers together. I think that's charming. I
Ralph.
Think that's adorable. Don't you? Because they have that in common.
That family sure loves athletes, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Athletes. Right?
What? They're not athletes? Odell Beckham is certainly an athlete. Lamar Odom was an athlete.
Yeah, barely.
I bet him and Kanye have a lot to talk about because they both like fashion.
Mmm.
And stuff.
And rolling deep.
All right.
Don't make that gesture.
Sorry.
And finally, we get to know who the Duck Dynasty family is backing in the election. Who would you guess? If you were going to say, who would Phil Robertson of the Duck Dynasty clan, who would he be backing
He's
in the upcoming
the burn.
Presidential election?
Yeah.
Oddly enough,
I agree.
No?
He is not feeling the burn.
What?
That's I'm with her?
Guess. Not, he's not with her either. We'll get one more guess.
It's got to be Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, right?
No, sadly, Gary is not the top of his list. Surprisingly, he is backing Donald Trump in the upcoming presidential election.
I didn't see that coming.
Let me tell you, I'm a really smart guy.
Yeah. Although he says he's actually more in line with Ted Cruz, he will be backing the presumptive GOP candidate Donald Trump.
You know what's interesting about this this Donald Trump thing that I was just thinking about, Ralph, as you said that, is he's a super religious dude, this Duck Dynasty.
Phil Robertson, he's evangelical.
Super right, and that's why Ted Cruz is his man.
Right.
It's interesting that Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee with really no religion at all. He's not at all religious.
No, that's not true. He is a hardcore Trumpist.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
He worships at the altar of Trump.
Part of the beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
That is part of the beauty of you.
But it used to be thought for a long time, in order to appeal to that large portion of the Republican base, you had to be super into God. And Donald Trump is not at all. I mean, he's very secular.
Bean, I don't think you remember Trump talking about religion and Christianity, saying, "No one loves the Bible more than me."
Oh, that's right.
Remember?
He did say that. He did. I forgot he
said
that.
No one loves the Bible more than he does. So he is.
Okay,
really
I was wrong. Well, now it totally makes sense. With Duck Dynasty,
and he has
guy.
The best Bibles too. I think he has.
He does.
Some golden Bibles.
Some of the words are in red. It's awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Imogen Poots. Imogen Poots. The actress, in terms of ratio of ugly name to smoking hotness, that's the biggest ratio, I think.
Absolutely.
If you look at her; she's a stunning woman, and her name is Imogen Poots.
Yeah, she's not getting any help on either of those names.
No, Poots sounds like. Like, if you're in church and you're trying not to make a noise, but you're gassy.
Yeah.
And so you just go, poots.
You just kind of just. A little poop comes out.
And Imogen sounds like a new drug from Pfizer.
Yeah.
For psoriasis. Try new Imogen. Just smear Imogen on your skin and watch the results. Imogen.
Yep.
By Poots. I've done a lot of time on Imogen Poots. She's 27. And Anderson Cooper. Oh, come on, Coop. I'm just announcing your birthday. There's nothing really that funny about it. Anderson is 49 years old today. Pull it together. Come on, Coop. He's 49 and his name's still being bandied about as a potential co-host for Kelly Ripa over there on Live. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's all happening, you guys, tonight at the Hollywood Palladium, talking about Prophets of Rage, their second ever show. This is the super group with members of Public Enemy, Cypress Hill, and Rage Against the Machine. They went on sale yesterday at 10 o'clock. Be Real was down there selling tickets by hand, which I thought was very impressive on his birthday. And, of course, they sold out in minutes. But we have tickets you can win right now if you want to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to see the Prophets of Rage tonight at the Hollywood Palladium, you will have to earn them. Call now on K-Rock. It's Friday morning. Ralph is here. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Small batch of movies opening up this weekend, but if you are a fan of romance, music, comedy... Turtles.
I love
this is the weekend
all those
for you.
Things.
Let's kick things off with Me Before You. Oh, ladies are lining up for this one. It is the story of a small town girl who forms an unlikely bond with a recently paralyzed man she's taking care of. She starts off as his caretaker and ends up being his love.
This looks good.
Emilia Clarke, Sam Claflin, Janet McTeer, Charles Dance, all star. And this novel was a huge, huge hit with women everywhere, and now it's a feature film. And I think it's because women can, the story resonates with them, a woman falling in love with a man who cannot run away from her. So it's the perfect story for many women.
That's what I'm saying.
I bet Taylor Swift will adore this movie.
<Thank you. laughs>
Me Before You is the name. Here are some clips from the trailer.
Please don't tell me you shaved off my eyebrows.
Neither one.
Can I take you somewhere?
You are so going on a date with Will Trainer.
It's too baby.
Get the red dress out.
I don't want to go in yet. I just want to be a man who's been to a concert with a girl in a red dress. A few minutes more.
I promised my parents 6 months and that's what I've given them.
But that was before me.
I want him to live, but only if he wants to live.
We can't just let this happen.
You can't change who people are.
Well, what can you do?
You love them.
Right?
Right.
Aww. Where do turtles come in?
Oh, well, it's funny you should ask, Allie, because our next film is all about four young turtles who fight crime.
I like turtles.
They are the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they're back.
I like turtles.
If you're a fan of the first movie, did you like it, kid?
I think he probably did.
I like turtles.
Oh, good. It, of course, was the return of the film. A lot of hardcore TMNT fans were upset by the realism that the turtles were treated with in the first film, but there was a lot of action and did very well for itself. Hence the sequel. Megan Fox returns as April O'Neil, sidekick, girlfriend of the turtles. Will Arnett's back. Tyler Perry finally in a Teenage Mutant Ninja
this
Turtle
is everything
movie.
Everything you love in one film.
Everything in one film.
Hey, is Megan Fox dating one of the turtles in the... I haven't seen the movies. She doesn't go out with one of the turtles.
No, you're thinking of the porn parody 10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
Yes. Look, either you're in or you're out with this film. But, look, it's the turtles, right?
I like turtles.
That's what I'm saying. Here's some clips from the trailer.
What's happening out there, Donnie?
I don't know. It doesn't look good.
Gear up, guys.
What are you, superheroes?
Just four brothers who hate bullies and love this city.
Dude, bringing back the Mohawk. Good for you.
Why are we going with the turtles? When something bad happens, you want to be with the turtles.
Right?
I've said that for years.
And it has Michael Bay producing, so what else do you need?
The good news is Bebop and Rocksteady finally make an appearance.
My friend plays Bebop.
Oh, I knew somehow you were going to make this about you. I didn't know how.
He's wonderful.
I didn't know how, but I'm glad we finally got to your connection with this film, Allie.
Who's Bebop?
He is he's the Rhino, right? Isn't he the Rhino? Or is that Rocksteady?
Rocksteady's the Rhino.
I don't know. They're two animal henchmen. Being
okay,
come on,
sorry.
The Shredder is back as the bad guy, and of course, the evil, real evil in the film is a mad scientist named Baxter. So, if you have a villain named Baxter, you know he's truly evil.
I can hear you.
That is one of the most evil names,
I'm right here.
In all of film history. Let's talk about the movie we're all excited about, though, shall we?
Yes.
Pop star, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Yeah!
Andy Samberg stars as Connor For Real. All the boys from Lonely Island are also represented as his former band. He was a boy band member who goes solo and becomes a huge star. Think Justin Timberlake / Justin Bieber / douchebag. Imogen Poots, we were just talking about her. She's also in the film Bill Hader, Maya Rudolph, and a ton of cameos from a great cast of very, very funny people. This looks awesome. I've been waiting for this film since I first saw the trailer. Here's some clips.
Connor, did you take a sh- in the Anne Frank house?
Do not go in there.
Woo!
Ace Ventura.
Connor's second album drops today.
Out of four possible stars, Rolling Stone has given it the emoji. So, mixed. Let's call it mixed reviews.
I'm trying a brand new magic trick.
Top of the world! Connor, don't worry about it. You were up there for like 10 seconds.
It's a third of the way to Mars!
Connor, we've talked about this. 30 Seconds to Mars is the name of a band. It's not a fact.
Tim Meadows. Come on!
Turtles.
How? No, screw you, kid, and your turtles. How great does this movie look?
It looks great. Looks really good.
It's the pick of the weekend, obviously. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman Movie Beat.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. just talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie opening up today. We've got actress Megan Fox coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Right now, though, we want to hook you up with tickets for Prophets of Rage. They destroyed at the Whiskey a couple of nights ago, and they are playing their second ever show tonight at the Hollywood Palladium. By now, you know it's Be Real from Cypress Hill, and it's Chuck D from Public Enemy, and then three guys from Rage Against the Machine. It is a super group. And we want to give you tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Hawking the Hits.
A guy who's lean, a guy who's clean, a guy who talks with a machine. It's time for Stephen Hawking now. Stephen Hawking now. It's time for Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
Dr. Hawking, welcome back to the Kevin DeBeach Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Say hi to the girl.
Hello, Allie.
Hi, Mr. Hawking. How are you?
I am well. Let's hurry this up. I need to catch a screening of Me Before You.
I would think that would be a movie. That would
movie looks awesome. A hot chick falling in love with a guy in a wheelchair.
Uh-huh.
Boner.
Isn't that how you met your wife, though? Did you leave your wife for the nurse and then you married her?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you did. All right. I wasn't aware that you were a big fan of rap music, but apparently you are down with Cypress Hill, Public Enemy, and Rage Against the Machine.
And with OPP.
Exactly. So we have callers.
You know me.
Yeah, we do. OPP, right. We have callers on the line, Doctor. You want to explain to them how this game is played?
I will rap the lyrics of a Cypress Hill, Public Enemy, or Rage Against the Machine song. Mm-hmm. You only need to identify the song and artist.
Okay. So by title and artist, you tell us what song Dr. Hawking is doing for you as he hawks the hits. And if you're right, you go to the show tonight at the Hollywood Palladium. We'll take him in order this morning, Chip, and we'll start out in San Bernardino and welcome Michelle to the program. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
All right. Listen up. Dr. Hawking's going to rap for you. You tell us by title and artist, what song is he doing?
Okay, I'll try.
To da one on da flam. Boy, it's tough. I just toss that ham in the frying pan like spam. It's done when I come in slam.
Wow. What do you think there, Michelle?
I'm thinking,
take a guess if you don't know. I'm sorry. We were looking for Cypress Hill and Sane in the Brain this time. Nice try, though. Right. Not your fault, Dr. Hawking.
Insane in the membrane.
I thought you did
insane
a great job.
In the brain.
Let's try Oscar in Whittier. He's up next. He's on line two. Hey, Oscar, you ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready to do it.
All right, listen up. Here's Dr. Hawking.
Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant to me. You see, straight up racist that sucker was.
Oscar, one of the most famous lyrics in rap history. Title and artist, please.
I have no idea. Public Enemy, Fight the Power?
Yeah, well, all right. You know what? Yes, you're correct.
Was a hero to most, but he never meant to me. Yes, he's straight out.
How about that, Oscar? Your wild guess got you tickets for Prophets of Rage tonight. Have fun, my friend. Okay.
Okay.
Oscar just doesn't want to talk to us, I guess. That was a surprise that he came up with that one, wasn't it?
It was.
All right, let's meet Albert. He's in Covina. He's up next. Hey, Albert.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Listen up. Good luck to you.
Those who died are justified for wearing the badge. They're the chosen whites.
Rage Against the Machine, Kill an Ammo?
Look at you. Look at you. You are going to see Prophets of Rage at the Hollywood Palladium. That is fantastic. Dr. Hawking, do you get to many rap shows? Are you in the mosh pit at all? How do you handle it?
I am cray-cray, yo.
All right. Up next is, where are we, Chip? Are we at Norman?
We're at Norman.
Let's talk to Norman out in Glendale. Hey, Norman, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, guys.
Good luck. Here's Dr. Hawking.
Because we're like the outlaw striding. Suckers are hiding. Jump behind the bush when they see me driving by. Hanging out my window and my magnum taking out some putos.
What do you think, Norman?
That's Cypress Hill, I Could Just Kill a Man.
Yes, it is. This is awesome. Let's try Frank Whittier. Frank is up next. How many have we given away, Allie? Have you been keeping track?
Three.
All right. So, Frank, good luck. Let's hope you win. Here's Dr. Hockey.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
It's Rage Against the Machine. Rally Around the Family.
No, I'm sorry. That's called Guerrilla Radio. That hurt.
Sorry,
dude. All right, I got time for a couple more. Let's go to Los Angeles. Say hi to Raul on the Kevin and Bean Show. Raul,
Hello. Listen
up. Good luck.
We got to demonstrate. Come on now. They're gonna have to wait till we get it right. Radio stations, I question their blackness.
Raul? Take a guess if you don't know.
Cypress Hill.
No. Sorry, we're looking for Bring the Noise, Pete. We got to get them straight. Come on now. They're going to have to wait until we get... All right, one more, Dr. Hawking, and then we'll let you get to your movie. It's going to be Ryan. He's in Chatsworth. Ryan, welcome to the show. You ready?
Hey, yes, let's do it.
Good luck.
The microphone explodes, shattering the molds. Either drop the hits like De La O or get the F off the commode.
Yes, you got it. Well done, Ryan. Have fun at the Hollywood Palladium tonight. Dr. Hockey, you going to the show?
That's going to be sick, yo.
Right. Thanks for playing Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
Ali, tell us more about your friend who plays Bebop in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie.
Gary Anthony Williams. Great guy.
Stop it.
Very talented.
I got that on one side of me, and the other side, people, this happened. I swear to you, this happened. From Bean I got this morning, I'm having my bed delivered today. This is what I have to deal with, people.
At least you can escape the room.
That's true. I do run away. Chip is stuck. She is stuck behind the board. She can't go anywhere.
Listen.
I'm having a bed delivered today.
I know there's a lot of reasons to not listen to the Kevin and Bean Show, but just let me just make the pledge today. Today's going to be worth listening because we got Megan Fox coming up right after 7. Mm. Then we're going to talk to Josh from 21 Pilots. He's got big, big news for Pilots fans today. Then the lovely Amber Tamblyn is going to be joining us. That's all next hour. Then Robert Kirkman is going to be here, you guys, from Outkast. I'm sorry, Miss
Jackson. No, not that Outkast.
That's his new show.
Walking Dead. No,
he's got a show.
TV
new show on
called.
Cinemax. That's Outkast, right. Premiering tonight.
And comedian Ben Glebe. All of that on today's Kevin and Bean Show. So I'm just saying, worth sticking around.
And it's National Donut Day. What more do you want?
Exactly. And it's time for another look at the showbiz beat. Now here's Ralph.
Speaking of National Donut Day, I want to give you a heads up. This is one of the few food holidays where you can actually get free stuff.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
Donuts apparently are just dirt cheap.
Mm-hmm.
They're just playing us for suckers, making us buy them, because apparently they're just handing them out left and right, and it's no big deal. Krispy Kreme. One free donut of your choice. Don't have to buy anything. Don't have to do anything. Boom. Go into Krispy Kreme. Get yourself a free donut.
Wow.
That's a deal.
That's great.
What's the catch?
There's no catch. Catch? There's no catch. That's my Ed Asner. Ed Asner used to do radio commercials for solar panels. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And he was like the crankiest spokesman ever.
He was mad talking to himself.
He was furious. There would be like some hack DJ who would like fill in the other side of the conversation. This sounds crazy, Mr. Asner. What's the catch?
That?
Catch! There's no catch. It's like, jeez, I'm afraid not to buy solar panels now.
Buy a goddamn solar panel and like it.
They're great people. They'll explain the whole thing to you. Catch! There's no catch. Sorry, Mr. Grant. Dunkin' Donuts. Free donut. Any donut of your choice with the purchase of a beverage. See? Dunkin' Donuts has a little bit of a hook there.
Huh.
So those are your
Where's
options. You can go. Duck Donuts has a deal today. Lamar's, Stan's, Randy's.
Randy's.
L.A. famous donut shop and landmark that you've seen in films and television shows.
It's got to be the most famous donut shop in the world, right?
They will they will hand out free donut holes.
Oh.
And there's a raffle.
for the actual donut?
No, for the donut the holes came from? Yeah. I don't know what kind of raffle's going on, but it's a raffle and you get free donut holes. Catch. There's no catch. You can just go down there.
Well, how about that? National Donut Day.
There you go. That's all your donut info.
I like it.
I walk the donut beat. let's talk about show business, shall we? Can you believe it's the 15th anniversary of 6 Feet Under?
It's been off the air that long?
No, the show debuted 15 years ago.
Yeah, wow, how about that?
It's crazy.
That was a great show.
Great show. If you've never seen it, HBO is marking the anniversary by doing a marathon of all 63 episodes on HBO 2, one of their channels. So I want to give you a heads up. If you've never seen that, you can check it out. You guys watching American Ninja Warriors?
I'm not this season, I'm sorry.
Ratings for season 8 were pretty good. 6.3 million viewers went tonight.
Wow.
It was the its most watched premiere yet.
It's a good show.
Top show of the evening. Also, big ratings grabbers this week on television's Criminal Minds did very well. MasterChef for Fox. ABC's 500 Questions that Bean is watching also did very well. So those are your TV hits. It's a weird time, television, because most TV shows now are in reruns, and so you get summer shows and stuff. And speaking of television, Netflix, which, as you know, is taking over the world. Well, mark my words, Netflix is Skynet. When we look back and say, when did it happen? When did we lose our humanity? Netflix.
Really?
Yeah.
And what is it they're doing that concerns you?
Just taking over the world.
Okay.
They're doing all the TV shows.
They're becoming too essential.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're getting a new children's show. Putting a new children's show on Netflix that will star Julie Andrews.
Oh.
Everyone's favorite nanny, Mary Poppins. Maria Von Trapp. What else did she do? Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Andrews and some Muppets.
Fozzie?
No. Original Muppet. They're creating new puppets, Jim Henson's company is. Julie's Green Room is the name of the show. And will feature celebrity cameos, as you can imagine. Julie has a lot of famous friends. Alec Baldwin, Sarah Bareilles, Josh Groban, Idina Menzel. They're all going to stop by and help Julie teach preschool kids about the performing arts.
I love it.
So, there you go. Catch! There's no catch. I wonder if Ed Asner will stop by. That'd be great.
Jessica, our phone screener today, Ralph, is very upset that the Princess Diaries didn't immediately come to your mind.
Oh, right, Princess Diaries, yes.
She gained an entire generation of new fans as a result of that movie.
Yeah. You know, I keep thinking of S.O.B., the movie S.O.B., directed by her husband, Blake Edwards.
Right.
She shows her cans in it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Julie Andrews cans.
I don't like those things together. Stop saying
that's
those.
Why it's so powerful. No. There's a moment in the movie where she goes, she just rips her shirt off, and you get to see her boobies.
Nice melons.
Right? When you're a kid, weren't you like, oh, I'd love to see Mary Poppins' boobies?
Not once.
I was.
Really?
Big ones, right?
I'll give her a spoonful of sugar to help the medicine go down.
No!
You know what I'm saying?
Boobies. I like boobies.
Yeah. I'd like to get a Maria's Von Trapp. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was thinking as a kid. I like to climb every mountain, ford every stream.
Please don't tell me there's an entire line of Sound of Music and Mary Poppins porn. There can't be.
Give her the Lonely Goat Herd, right? All right, I don't even know what that one means.
I don't even know.
I don't think you want to be a part of the Lonely Goat Herd.
That's my famous sex move. There's the hot Carl, the Cleveland Steamer, and the Lonely Goat Herd.
I feel like the Lonely Goat Herd would leave somewhat unsatisfied somehow.
No, trust me.
Really?
Make a girl go, ah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Imogen Poots. Oh,
yeah.
I gave Imogen Poots the Lonely Goat Herd once. She's 27 years old today. Anderson Cooper's 49. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, don't forget, we are still qualifying you for a trip to England. We're talking the Reading Festival, K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016, destination number 2, featuring lots of bands, including 21 Pilots. And I think we're going to have a 21 Pilot on the show with us in about 15 minutes or so, Allie, with some very big news.
We are. Josh Dunn.
I like Josh.
Well, good. He's the one we're talking to.
Also, actress Amber Tamblyn is going to be joining us in a few minutes as well. Do we have Ms. McMurray?
Not yet.
Right. She's ready to go. Okay. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is back, you guys. The first movie was a huge hit. By all accounts, the second one is bigger and even better. It is called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. It is in theaters everywhere today. We are delighted to welcome back to the program our favorite Tennessean, Megan Fox. Hey, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
How you been?
I've been great. How have you been?
Why does this feel like it got weird?
It got
right
weird
out of the
because
gate?
It was a very inquisitive how have you been. Like, she knows something. Megan,
no,
what
no,
do you
no.
know?
It was just, I wasn't trying to be, I wasn't trying to pry. I was just, hey, how you been? I thought that was an appropriate greeting.
I thought it was creepy.
It just felt very, like, familial, almost like we're really close.
Right.
And so then I felt obligated to ask you how you have been.
When you don't care, because none of us do, right?
Right, exactly. All right. So I already blew it. Well, Megan, we did talk to you for the last Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, and we're happy to have you back. You are 30 now. Were the turtles, did they come along at the right time in your life? Because I feel like you're like in between the times when the turtles were popular, between then and now.
I was really little. I mean, I was like 4 or 5 by the time I saw them on VHS. But I had an older sister who, you know, she's 12 years older, and I wanted to do everything she was doing because she thought that they were amazing. I was really entranced by them as well. So they sort of stuck in my childhood psychology from that, like, really early impressionable age.
It is kind of, and I don't mean this in a bad way at all, because clearly it's a magical thing that has entertained millions of people through multiple generations now, but it is something that on paper you can see must have been a tough sell at the beginning. People must have said, that's a ridiculous idea for a thing.
Well, I mean, I think it was born out of that intention. The guys that created the comic books were basically... it was satirical. They were making fun of comic heroes, and they were like, what if we make the heroes mutant teenage turtles? And that's sort of where it came from. And then I think that's kind of what appeals to people on a subconscious level, is that it's like winking at itself. It knows that it's ridiculous, and it invites you to, like, enjoy that aspect of it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And also it puts a lot of humor into the superhero genre, which you don't often see, I think.
Yeah, not anymore. I mean, that's kind of died off because everything's so dark and so gritty and kind of burdensome, I think. I love superhero movies, but I don't want to go and, like, suffer through them for 2 hours. I'd rather go and be able to laugh and have a good time.
Are these movies very difficult to make? It looks like they got an awful lot of moving parts.
I mean, I love making movies like this. It's definitely really chaotic, and there's a big risk factor because there's so much money involved, and you don't have enough time to ever do anything. And, you know, you're shooting in New York City, but I love that aspect of it. We're never on green screen, and we have guys playing the turtles in the way that Andy Serkis plays any of the characters that he does for Lord of the Rings or Hobbit or so forth. So for me, it's a really enjoyable, fun experience, but I guess other people might find it difficult.
You got a great cast, Will Arnett in the movie, Stephen Amell, who's, of course, Arrow. This is his first movie, or close to the biggest role he's ever had in a movie, right? How'd you like working with him?
I liked it. I didn't know who he was. I haven't seen that show. I had no idea it was such a phenomenon. Like, everywhere we go, people are freaking out over Stephen. and I tell him, I'm like, I didn't know who you were. I went into chemistry read with you. I had no clue that you were like such a big deal. But I had a lot of fun with him, and I'm on a set with a bunch of really macho, slightly narcissistic dudes. So that's a fun experience because they're all constantly competing for, like, who's in the best shape and so forth.
It's a lot like here.
Right.
Very similar. Something I love about you is you talk about how you don't watch a lot of TV. So when you were pitched the role on New Girl, which wound up being one of the best things, I think, to ever happen to that show, it kind of rejuvenated it, that you basically were like, wait, what? Who? You want me to do what?
Yeah, I had never seen it. I mean, I watched it right before they pitched it to me, and I loved it because it's such a kind of weird, offbeat show, and it lines up with my sense of humor. I didn't understand why specifically they wanted me, because I haven't done TV before, and I'm not really, like, known for comedy per se. So I was kind of suspicious. I didn't get it. I didn't understand. But I loved being on the show, and I'm going back next season.
So excited for that, and you're so good at it. Is this going to kind of drive you to do a little more TV, or are you kind of just, if it comes, it comes?
I don't know. I mean, I do like it. I enjoy the process of it. It's a lot easier than making movies. But I'm also addicted to sort of the adrenaline that's involved in trying to get these types of movies made as well. I think I would miss it if I stepped away for too long, but I'm really open to doing more TV because I had such a good experience.
And you've mentioned before that you're not into the art house movies. When you think of actors, they're always like, I just want to do something that really appeals to me on an intellectual level. But you, like you just said, you're about the adrenaline. You want to do more of these.
Yeah, in this particular, I don't need to like bleed for my art and suffer for my art. And I'm not into that in terms of, as far as acting is concerned. I prefer making movies like this. It's way more fun. I think I'm more passionate about other things. And so I don't take acting so seriously. I feel like, you know, for making movies, that's great and it's entertaining for people, but it's not astrophysics or, you know, we're not changing the world.
That is so, it's so rare, Megan, to hear that, as you know. I mean, you know a lot of actors, but actors, a lot of times, their entire identity is their career. And it's rare to come across someone like you who is able to compartmentalize it so much and just go, yeah, that's fine, and it's over here, but there's this whole wide world of other things that I like to do. That's an interesting perspective that I think makes you a minority in Hollywood.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what to say other than I think actors are, in general, like really broken people. That's why people are drawn to the entertainment industry, because they have deep voids that they're trying to fill from childhood wounds and so on and so forth. And so you get people who become obsessed with their craft and with acting, and it does become their identity. But I don't think that's necessarily a very healthy thing, at least not the way I see it.
I think that's very true and a very deep comment. And I wonder if part of that perspective came from you because you got so famous so fast, because fame kind of overwhelmed you even as an actress. I wonder if that's part of what made you push back from that.
I definitely think that's something to do with it. I mean, I almost felt like I had PTSD from becoming famous so quickly when I was in my early 20s, and it caused me to be really introspective and, you know, try and seek outside myself also for answers, because it's a really bizarre animal having to deal with fame, especially when you're still discovering who you are and you're having to do it in front of the world. And it's a really difficult experience, and I didn't want to lose myself in it. And so I fought pretty hard to try and understand what was actually happening.
Well, you're a thinking person, and I applaud that. And I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you again. And I'll try to do better with the introduction when we get you on for the next movie. But congratulations on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, opening in theaters everywhere today. Megan Fox, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. We got to move on here, Allie, but I just said how you do it. And Megan Fox, it sounded like she thought it was creepy. I wasn't trying to be creepy.
I feel like it was the tone. Like, try it differently with Josh Dunn. Say it just
But I wasn't like, how you do it. I mean, I wasn't like coming on strong or anything. I was just like, how you doing?
No, you didn't say it like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not good with girls. That's
really?
I think it's going to be a lot better with Josh.
Breaking news.
21 Pilots, you guys, one of the biggest bands in the world, one of the best live acts on the road today. They are already sold out July 23rd at the Forum. And as you know, the Honda Center tickets for February 15th go on sale today at 10 a.m. We have Joshua Dunn from the band. He plays drums for 21 Pilots, don't you know, on the phone with us right now. I understand in Columbus, Ohio, on the way to Detroit. Is that right, Josh?
Good morning. Yes, I'm on my way to Detroit.
And is that a sentence that fills you with joy, or is that like, well, this is the job?
Yeah, you know, Detroit's super close to home for us. We're from Columbus, so we love playing in the Midwest.
This new tour that you guys just kicked off in Cincinnati is already getting rave reviews as the biggest, you know, the biggest thing you guys have ever done. And I want you to, if you would, fill me in. What did Tyler mean when he came out on stage and said, "Josh and I have been talking about tonight for 6 years together"? What's the backstory behind that sentence?
Oh man, well, so we met probably 6 years ago, and the first night we ever. The first night we ever hung out was a day after we met at a show one time, and we stayed up all night kind of talking about just like, you know, our visions and dreams musically, and started to kind of like come up with ideas of, you know, what every sort of variation of show would look like from sort of like just the smallest clubs, which, you know, we've played, and then up to kind of our biggest ones. And then there's been some along the way that we didn't even foresee, like playing in an older couple's bedroom.
I'm sorry. Let's.
Yeah, that did happen.
Were you invited? How'd that come about?
Was it a prank?
There's been some that were invited and some that weren't. A couple actually moved out all their furniture and their bed and stuff for us to kind of like put our gear in there. And then our buddy Mark, kind of just controlled the lights with like the light switch. So it was,
Did they win an intimate concert with 21 Pilots at their house? Was it one of those kind of deals?
To be honest, I don't know how it was set up. I kind of just showed up at their house, and we were like, let's do it. Let's do this.
I feel like I've seen this movie.
A lot of fun. Oh, yeah. Well, we should make a movie out of it.
You said you and Tyler started talking about all the various ways you wanted to do shows, and I guess what you're referring to then is now that you're at the point where you're playing these sold-out arena shows, you have a lot more room, a lot more flexibility, a lot bigger crew. You can do a lot of things that you could only imagine up till this point with screens and costume changes and lights and everything, right?
Yeah. Still no live circus animals yet. But that's something that we've always talked about as well. But if that's something you were hoping for, then it's not quite here.
This tour.
I think it's okay to leave the animals in the wild anyway. I think that's the direction we're going as a country. So it's okay.
I know. I feel like that kind of quote unquote vision and dream that we had has just evolved as we've gotten to 2016.
Exactly.
And realized that we probably can't really do that one.
And by the way, stay out of the gorilla enclosure. I think that's good advice for parents and their children. Don't you, Josh?
Yeah, I do think so.
How weird is it for you, and this is Josh Dunn from 21 Pilots on the phone here on the Kevin Beach Show on KROQ. How weird is it for you that tickets are going on sale this morning for a Honda Center show that isn't until February? I mean, does that fill you with panic to know that your life is planned out, that you're going to be working so hard between now and all the way up until next spring?
It's crazy that, you know, there's this kind of group of people that have invested in the music and enough to kind of share it with a bunch of other people, you know, even through the form of you guys who have been sharing it with people, who have then invested in it and kind of made it their own thing and decided to come to a show. If you haven't heard of my band, then you don't have to if you don't want to. But you're invited to a show, and we promise that we'll try and make it exciting. It's crazy. I think before we ever got signed or anything, we just wanted to go on the road. And so we started working with a booking agency and we told them, put us on the road and don't take us off, because that's what we want to do, is play live shows. And so we haven't really come off the road since then.
In your wildest dreams, I mean, you sold out the Forum on July 23rd. Tickets go on sale today at 10 for the show at the Honda Center in February on the 15th. That, I'm going to say right now, most likely will sell out within minutes as well. In your wildest dreams, did you ever foresee playing these kind of venues?
Yeah. I think is the answer to tell you, and I think that, like, I feel like that sounds bad, but I honestly guess when Tyler and I kind of sat down and had these sort of like dreams and crazy like ideas, I think stuff like this was kind of definitely in our dream, and I think that's a good thing. I think anybody who is an artist of any kind should dream big. And mm-hmm. should have kind of, I don't think should have
limits.
A feeling on what it is that they think that they can do. And again, I know that I feel like it probably comes off or sounds bad to say that, but I think
I don't think so. I don't think so, Josh. I think there's nothing wrong with dreaming big, and there's nothing wrong with working as hard as you can to make these dreams come true. It's not like you dreamed it and then somebody gave it to you. You guys earned it. You know, you deserve to be playing these venues because people go to your shows and they have a great time. And they, hey, when they come back, I'm going again. So you play bigger venues every time you come through town. Ali mentioned February 15th at the Honda Center. Those tickets go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. But Josh, you also have some news for 21 Pilots fans that we've not shared yet. Do you want to handle that?
Yeah, this is crazy. We actually are going to add a second show at the Honda Center on February 16th, and tickets will be available for that, I believe, today as well. So
that's right.
We will we'll be playing a show, and we'll, I guess, make you a car too.
Wow. You guys really are givers.
They do it all.
We've been practicing a lot of things.
So February 15th and the 16th, this second show just added, thanks to Josh calling the program here, and they both go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. Tickets start as low as $39, by the way. And I want to ask you one more thing, Josh, and that is, I have been fascinated by the covers that you guys have been playing on the road. Everything from Bob Marley to Elvis Presley to Lana Del Rey to Tears for Fears. I mean, it's crazy. How many songs can 21 Pilots play? Like, if you had to, do you think? How many do you know at this
point? If we had to. Oh, right now. Well, that's a good question. We've also, I think, like, one of our first tours, actually, we did, like, sometimes there'll be, like, cover songs that we like, but we don't want to do the whole thing.
Jump around. You play that a lot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll just kind of put together like a little medley of covers. And there's one that we did years ago that was like, there's like NSYNC, I think some Third Eye Blind, maybe some Nelly.
I don't know.
I think a lot of times it doesn't make a lot of sense what songs we cover. I think it's just like kind of whatever is like kind of catchy, and then also it kind of the way that we think when putting together something like that is, well, how is this going to go into this song in a, you know, kind of a, in a very smooth way in transition. And so sometimes like a song we'll choose a song to cover from that need.
It's so fun that you guys can be on the road this summer, for instance, and hear the Justin Timberlake song a million times on the radio and go, you know what, let's play it. And then you just decide, hey, let's work it out and put it in the set if you want. I mean, that's super fun that you can do that, and it mixes it up for you guys every night, too.
Yeah, definitely. And it helps that there's just two of us, too, because we can just, like, literally just be eating lunch and then be like, hey, let's work on this, and, you know.
That's
and then
cool.
We can put together a track or something and then learn it on whatever instrument and try and play it to our best ability.
21 Pilots is on the road. Just added a second show at Honda Center now, February 15 and 16. Tickets on sale through LiveNation.com at 10 o'clock this morning. Congratulations, Joshua, on making your dreams come true. And you've always been great to K-Rock. We love having you on the radio, and we love it when we get a chance to catch up with you. Give our best to Tyler as well, all right?
Definitely. Thank you, Bean and Allie, for having me. And, we love K-Rock, too. So
you,
we can't wait to be in L.A.
Talk to you soon. Yeah. Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Friday morning. Amber Timblin is on the phone. Is she on the phone, Jim?
She's on the phone.
Okay. Has been acting for almost 20 years now. Of course, also a very successful poet and now director with her new film called Paint It Black. Always fun to catch up with Amber, and she is back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, what's up?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Sorry that your friend Kevin is not here today, but Allie and I are looking forward to talking to you. Congratulations on the movie.
I always secretly hated Kevin, so it's fine.
Well, same. It's about time somebody said it out loud.
Finally.
So
yeah,
Amber,
I need to say that on the air. I need to tell everybody that.
It feels good to get it off your chest too, doesn't it?
It's very
it
brave.
Really does, you know, after all these years.
this is what a great actor she is. We never could tell in all the time nope. she's been in the studio that she was that she had that secret rage going on. She was able to hide it so well. So, Amber, I know you're tired of getting asked this question, but look, there are a lot of actors who go, thank God I don't have to direct. I just have to worry about my part over here and not the weight of the world on my shoulder with every single decision. What makes an actor want to be a director?
I can't speak for everybody. I think a lot of time it's truly an accident. I know for me with this project, this was a script that I had written and had no intention to direct it at all. And then that just sort of happened, mostly because I had a very specific style and tone that I wanted with the film, and directors that I kept meeting with to direct it, I sort of bumped heads with. Not in a bad way, but they just saw it one way and I saw it another way. And eventually there was another director attached to it for the better part of a year. And she's the one that finally said to me, she's like, you know, you're really ignoring the point here. And I think you should direct this. And I don't know what you're waiting for. I was like, I don't know what I'm waiting for either. That's a good point.
I love that you said that you had this visceral reaction when reading the book. It's a Janet Fitch novel. And you had a visceral reaction. How soon into it did you kind of start seeing it in the way that you wanted to see it on screen?
I saw it as I was reading it, pretty much. I mean, obviously, you know, it's really the experience of directing and writing a film and adapting a book. You know, the adaptation of a book is far different than even what the film turns into. It's sort of like this double creative experience that just keeps growing throughout the process. So, you know, the script that you imagine you're going to write from the book doesn't turn out that way. And then the movie you imagine you're going to create from the script doesn't turn out that way.
Really?
So for me, I wouldn't say it was that far off when I was reading the book, but certainly the film came out much more, I want to say dark, and I don't mean that in a sad sense. I mean that in a literal tonal sense, the color context of it. You know, it's a very, like, vibrant, feels like a strange, like, 80s movie, like The Hunger or something like that, or that it would come out of the world of, like, some Jim Henson movie like Legend or Labyrinth or The Dark Crystal. So, you know, those are things that I kind of imagined and like, saw that in my head, but I had no idea, you know, until I got into the editing room that the film that I was going to make was the film that is made.
A lot of people who have seen Paint It Black and have been reviewing it, Amber, are saying Lynchian. They're saying Ingrid Bergmark comes to mind. I mean, those are high compliments. But did you have any particular – I mean, did you think those sorts of things going in, or are you surprised that people are making those comparisons?
No, I mean, I think I was naturally influenced, you know, by those filmmakers for sure. You know, and certainly David Lynch, who my dad did Twin Peaks and is going to be in the next sure. installment of it, the Showtime installment. But, you know, I grew up watching that and watching all of his films. And I think that's definitely a large part of my, you know, creative psyche. But that, again, that's like stuff that wasn't in the script. It was when we got in the editing room and I was trying to figure out a different way to, you know, come at something that could otherwise be really, really cheesy and sentimental and, you know, which unfortunately most films about relationships between women are. They're either, you know, funny buddy comedies where they're getting drunk and screwing everybody, or it's the other way around and it's just lots of crying. And there's sort of like no in between, talking about the interior violence of women and how violent they can be towards each other and to themselves. And so I wanted to go into the psychosis of the female brain, of what grief actually does to the head, and how it creates monsters out of people, and particularly women who are, you know, extremely powerful and psychic in a lot of ways, and how these two women just sort of go at it while being drunk through the entire film. It's yeah. extra funny.
That is very well put. And just to explain to the audience, we're talking about this film Paint It Black, and we'll tell you how you can see it here in just a moment. But what happens is that the lead character's boyfriend dies, and then she ends up having this relationship afterwards with the boyfriend's mother. And it's a real push and pull kind of thing where they hate each other, but they also need each other. And I'm also fascinated with that aspect of grief and also a lot of friendships and don't survive if the person in the middle is not there. But sometimes those people come together and become closer after the person in the middle is interesting. And I think that's really fascinating too, Amber.
Yeah, I think, you know, the film has a lot, it talks, while it's about that, it's about this guy that died. It's also a class story. You know, we here in Los Angeles, anyone who lives here knows that you've got, you know, people who are extremely rich that live up in the Hollywood Hills. And, you know, we've got movie stars, we've got pop stars, we've got old Los Angeles money, you know, passed down generational money. And then not a quarter mile, not 100 feet down, you know, in Alvarado and, you know, Echo Park and even off of Sunset and things like that, you've got people that are like the lead character in my film, like Josie, who are nude models or, you know, just trying to scrape by to, by being an artist, a musician, a struggling actor. And so there's a real class dynamic in Los Angeles, and that is very much the underpinning of the relationship between these two women. You know, it's about a mother who's extremely wealthy and, you know, world-famous concert pianist, and this young punk rock girl that's very impressionable. So it's a power struggle between the two of them.
Absolutely.
Which I think, you know, most complicated relationships are that, whether it's an intimate relationship or a friendship. You know, that's sort of the basis of it. And then when you add death or grief into the mix of that, it can create, you know, something very, very intense and a sort of obsession.
Being a third generation Angeleno, did this movie being so tied to Los Angeles make it a little easier as your directorial debut?
I think it did a little bit. I mean, you know, I certainly had, when I was reading Janet Fitch's book, I knew every place she was talking about, mm-hmm. which is always just a really great, a great feeling. And also, you know, my grandfather, not a lot of people know this, but my grandfather was the master violinist of the LA Philharmonic here. He was a really wonderful violinist and did all the violin solos for the old Westerns, all the spaghetti Westerns that you would see, the John Wayne films and things like that. So, you know, the film is heavily also tied to classical music because of the villainous character. So even that part of it was sort of, when I was reading it, I was going, God, I feel like I've met this woman in Los Angeles at some point, whether it was like a friend of my mother's or that knew my grandfather or something.
Right.
Wow. Someone that lives this kind of crazy, crazy life.
Well, we're out of time, Amber, but I want to mention the movie, again, is called Paint It Black. It is co-written by Amber, and it is her directorial debut. And I just got to give a quick shout-out to the amazing cast. The phenomenal British actress Janet McTeer is in this film. Alfred Molina is in the movie, Simon Helberg, and Aaliyah Shawkat, who I just love in everything and has so much incredible range as an actress. You've never seen her in a character like Josie before. People can see it tonight. You've got something going on tonight, right, Amber?
Yes, tonight we are premiering at LACMA at the Bain Theater at 7:30. I think we're sold out, but there's a rush line. You know, it's Los Angeles, so certainly there'll be tickets available.
Okay, filmindependent.org is where you want to go. Filmindependent.org. You can see the movie tonight. It is called Paint It Black. Amber, great to catch up with you. Congratulations on the film, too.
Thank you so much, you guys. Have a great morning.
You bet. Bye. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hi.
It's Friday.
It sure is.
I hear Mr. Kirkman is in the next room.
He is. He's in good humor.
Looking forward to it.
We're having a good time in there, and everyone's enjoying National Donut Day. So please, hug your kids and tell them you love them.
I don't get those two.
I don't either. But.
Creator of The Walking Dead, of course, and the new Outcast.
Again. Ooh. Nope. Yeah. It's actually just the name of his new show.
It's strange he would do a biopic about Outkast,
the band. He didn't.
He's more known as a graphic novelist.
Yeah,
and,
I'm surprised to hear that he's an
author of horror and scary tales, you know.
It's about possessed kids and Satan.
So I'm Miss Jackson.
Very different.
Very strange.
Maybe he knows a lot about the Atlanta scene.
Very different.
ATL, yo. Yeah.
Mr. Kirkman joins us right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph's got to look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I think designing clothes must be the easiest thing in the world.
Everyone seems to do it.
Everyone can do it. Mm-hmm. Now, we've got this country guy. Bean, you would know because you know that stuff, but I don't follow. Dustin Lynch?
Yes.
The ring a bell? Dustin Lynch?
He is a country singer of some fame and note, yes.
He is launching his new line of fashion. Surprisingly, it's going to be shirts and cowboy hats. And accessories. Finally, someone is getting around to making cowboy hats and cowboy shirts and belts. There's been a big void in the market for all of those items.
I can't even leave the house sometimes because my pants are too loose.
Right.
And there's nothing.
Why doesn't someone get a strap of leather with some sort of fastener that I can put around my pants?
They haven't invented that yet, apparently.
To keep them up.
Crazy. Until Dustin Lynch came along.
And how about something you put on your head with a wide brim that keeps the sun out of your eyes?
Right. Huh. Where's that been?
Well, Dustin Lynch has your answer with Stay Country, his new fashion line. By the way, Dustin says it's not a brand. It's a lifestyle.
So he
and Kanye West can just get into a cage and just one of them should leave. Is that too
much? Is there anything that can be done with a t-shirt at this point? I mean, t-shirts have been invented already, right?
Or a shirt, for that matter. Or a hat. Or a belt. Stop it. There's plenty of people making plenty of clothes that work just fine. You don't need to get into the fashion business, Dustin Lynch.
I think I agree.
But it's a lifestyle,
Ralph.
Oh, I
forgot.
Remember?
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift's unhappy. Let that warm you. Let that thought warm you as you go through your Friday.
No, that makes me very sad.
Oh, makes gives me that good feeling. Like puppies. And porn.
Ralph, you know.
Not together,
never
of course.
Together.
I keep them
never
separate.
Together.
I keep them separate. But those are the things that make me happy.
But you know,
as does
Ralph,
Taylor Swift
you
being
You had your
unhappy.
Heart broken before. You know how sad that is. That's a terrible feeling.
Calvin
wish
Harris
that on her.
Calvin Harris, excuse me, was apparently the author of their breakup. Told her things just weren't working out anymore. And according to Us Weekly magazine, she's very upset about the split. So, see, things aren't all bad. Sure, there's global warming and things like that. But Taylor Swift is unhappy today. See?
And now I am too. Thanks.
Now it just ain't keeps getting better. How about you, Allie? How you feeling?
I'm all right.
Oh well, yeah. You can only get so much, I guess. Can't be greedy. Today's celebrity birthdays: Imogen Poots. Ah, Imogen Poots.
Right.
She's in Pop Star, by the way. Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see that movie today. 27 years old today, and Anderson Cooper, Coop, the Coop Man. AC Anko.
Nope.
He is 49, TV host of some note, of course, CNN. Does that show with Kathy Griffin on New Year's Eve. That strikes me as just so out of character for him. You know, as being him being the serious newsman. And then then he's on that show with Kathy on New Year's Eve, and she's spraying his face with fake tanner and making his eyes blinding
it gets
him.
It's pretty silly pretty fast.
It's very silly and very entertaining. Anderson, please. Just trying to all right, pull it together. Anderson?
Man, this is off the rails.
Yeah.
He did say that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, Ms. B.
Look who's back, ladies and gentlemen. Creator, executive producer, and writer for The Walking Dead, and now all the same for Outcast, premiering tonight at 10 on Cinemax. It's our friend Robert Kirkman.
Hey, everybody.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
I don't know how... And there are a lot of people in the world that impress me there because they're able to do so much more with the same amount of time in their day as I do. But I don't know how you have time to do what you do. Like, how do you have time to be here talking to me right now?
I don't. I'm a mess. It's a disaster. I have ruined my life. What have I done?
People have asked you before, and you always said, well, I like to work. But realistically, what is your week like, Robert?
I move from project to project very quickly. So, you know, I do a little Walking Dead, I do a little Fear of the Walking Dead, I do a little Outcast, you know, a few hours go by, I'm on phone calls, I'm writing comics. It all seems to work out, but I don't have room for anything else. So,
and you're also running your Skybound too, which means you're involved with lots of other authors and lots of other books that are coming out and everything. So you're running a business in addition to all the other things that you're doing creatively too.
Lots of hands and lots of pies. It's fun though. It's a lot of fun. I mean, the Skybound stuff is really exciting because I get to find new talent and, you know, usher them into this exciting entertainment world, and it's a great thing to be doing.
Are you running from something?
Yes.
What's happening?
I'm running from boredom.
Is that what it is? Are you, like, legitimately, can you go on a vacation and just sit?
I get a little twitchy, I'll be honest. Also, you know, I have two young kids. Going on a vacation is work.
No, you don't. You have a family, too?
Yeah. I have a 10-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter that are listening to this right now, so I'm going to try to cuss as much as possible.
Please don't, for our benefit. How many hours a night are you able to sleep, Robert?
Oh, I get a good 6 or 7. You know,
wow. it's not astonishing to me. All right.
I sleep like a rock, though. If I laid my head down on this counter, I would fall asleep. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
One of those.
Well, because you're that tired all the time walking around, right? Take me back to the first light bulb over the head moment where Outkast started to be a part of your brain.
Well, I always love that genre, you know, the stories of, you know, exorcism and demonic possession, and I think they're really cool. But if you pay attention to every one of those movies, they're all basically the same story. And so I kind of had this thought where I was like, you know, they call a person in, they exorcise a demon, the demon gets out of the person's body, and then they go, hey, let's go home and have a pizza.
But where did the demon go?
Yeah, where did the demon go? Is it going to come back? Are there more out there? Is there any way to prevent this? And so I started thinking, you know, what if there were, you know, a group of people that thought about exorcism as a solvable problem and went on this epic journey to try and discover all the ins and outs of exactly, you know, how a demon gets into a body and what could be done to prevent it and better ways of exorcising people and better ways to protect humanity from the scourge of demonic possession and actually, you know, solve this thing as opposed to just kind of treating it case by case for a long time.
And when you start, how many issues are you into the graphic novel of Outkast?
20. So okay. A little less than Walking Dead, but a lot. 20 is a lot.
It is a lot. It's not 150, but yeah, it's a lot.
So
when you first put your you know, pen to paper on Outkast issue 1, did you already know this is going to be a TV show too?
Yeah, it had already. I had already set it up as a TV show, kind of on accident. I was talking to Sharon Tall Aguado, who runs the international side of Walking Dead with Fox International, where the show airs in other countries. And she was just like, "Oh, you know, Walking Dead's a big success. You got anything else going on?" And I was like, "Oh, well, I'm going to start working on this comic soon. That's about this demonic possession stuff. It's pretty cool. It's going to be like this, this, and this." And she was like, "Let's do that." And I was like, "But I haven't started the comic yet. What? Okay." And so I ended up kind of developing the show and writing the pilot concurrently with writing the first comic. So that was an experience.
We all grew up with exorcisms in pop culture.
Yes.
Movies, TV shows, books, novels. Very few of us have personal experience with exorcisms. Did you talk to people who have?
Yeah, a little bit here and there. You know, I grew up in the rural South, in the Bible Belt, as they say, and so I've had some experiences with that kind of stuff. So you know, I've had some firsthand you know, encounters, I guess.
And how much have you heard from those people and their stories that you believe?
That I believe. I mean, I don't know. It's a tough thing because. You know, these stories are very believable, and this is a very tangible, real thing that people are experiencing. So, you know, I don't know. Part of doing this project to me is exploring, you know, what this stuff is. Is it real? Is it completely fake? A lot of people have a lot of opinions about that, and I find that really interesting. So we're going to be exploring that in the show.
I very much do, but I know that a lot of people who are very religious see Satan everywhere.
Yes.
How does science treat the idea of being possessed by Satan?
Well, I mean, science treats it as being completely not real. So
it's just in your head.
Yeah.
Have they had some things that they've seen happen with people who that they can't explain in any other way? Are there a lot of question marks around people who claim to have been possessed?
Yeah, I think there is a lot of that stuff. And I think it's the uncertainty around that makes this genre and makes this subject matter so interesting and so compelling.
I agree. Now, Patrick Fugit, who, you know, we all fell in love with on Almost Famous, has done consistently interesting work since then. But we've never seen him in a role like this before.
And he's so good.
He's so good. Did you know right off the bat, oh, he's my Kyle?
Yeah. Chris Black, the showrunner, had done a pilot with him. And when we were developing the show, he said, you know, this Patrick Fugit guy, he is going to be great. I think he'd be a really good Kyle. And we were like, the kid from Almost Famous? Are you crazy? Because Gone Girl hadn't come out yet. So we hadn't really seen him in that role. And then as we continued developing it, you know, Gone Girl came out and I saw it because I knew Chris had an eye on him. And we ended up bringing him in for a screen test. And he just absolutely knocked it out of the park. He just brought a real light to the role and an optimism that really made the, you know, the dark atmosphere around him, you know, more tangible, but also more appealing in a way. Mm-hmm. And really just, you know, he was our Kyle from like minute one.
It's a heavy thing to walk around with to know that Satan has his eye on you, isn't it? I mean, that's a tough life for this kid.
I mean, I get by.
It hasn't stopped me either.
Episode 1 premieres on Cinemax tonight at 10 o'clock. How did it end up on Cinemax?
Well, you know, we talked to a lot of different people and you know, we had a fair amount of options. And Cinemax just, you know, seemed to understand the show really well and really understood what it is that we wanted to do. They were the only outlet we talked about that had read the pilot script. And their response was, let's push it a little bit more. Let's, you know, let's make it a little bit more edgy. Let's make it a little darker. And that was something that was really exciting to hear.
And the first episode,
and we got there.
Yeah, you did.
You certainly did. I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but the opening 3 minutes, would you say, Allie, of this show,
yes,
you will probably never forget.
No,
let's hope so.
It's a strong. It's a strong entrance.
Oh wow!
It's a hey, how you doing? I'll tell you that.
Great. Yeah, I'm going to call those hey, how you doings now. Next time I'm in a writer's room, I'm going to go, you know what we need in this episode? We need a hey, how you doing?
That doesn't describe it at all because it is more of a oh my god.
Yeah, it gets your attention. That's for sure. All right, many more questions with our guest Robert Kirkman is here. The show is Outcast. It airs tonight at 10 on Cinemax. It is must see. I think that's already been used. I think somebody else already has must see, but you should see it. That's what I'm saying. More with Robert right after this on K-Rock. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Our friend Robert Kirkman back in studio. He, of course, is the creator, executive producer, and writer of The Walking Dead and Fear of the Walking Dead. And now he is demanding yet another hour of your TV time with Outcast, premiering tonight on Cinemax at 10 p.m.
Please give me that hour.
Take it.
I want that hour so bad.
So, Robert, I was thinking about this as I was watching the show. Is it difficult to film beating up a little kid?
Oh, spoiler alert, but no, not really. It's
Well, look, I mean, you know from the trailers, people who have seen the trailers know that there's a kid who's possessed by Satan in the show, and
yes,
exorcisms are pretty, physically, they
yes,
are pretty rough. And this is an actual little kid, a little human being who's playing this role, and
yes,
he gets the crap beaten out of him going into his exorcism.
So though,
yeah, yeah. It's Gabriel Bateman. He's an absolute amazing actor,
phenomenal.
And yeah, I mean, Adam Wingard talks about how he would try to sit him down and like speak to him very simply, so he would like understand things because he's a kid. And the guy would go, Gabriel would say, "Yeah, I know what my motivation is. I'm totally, I got this. Don't worry about it. I got it down. Let's just get Patrick over there, and then I'm going to come over here and do this thing." And then if you can, yeah, it'll be great. Let's do this. And it's like, what happened? What is this kid doing? And it was an extremely intense scene to film. A lot of stuff is going on camera, and it's absolutely insane. I remember standing off to the side going, wow, we're really doing this. This is really happening.
Yeah.
But then you'd yell cut, and you know, Patrick and Gabriel would start cracking jokes and like play fighting with each other, and he would be laughing. And so it was really weird because what you see on camera is like lit and dark and dramatic and scary and intense. But we know, you know, as soon as we would yell, you know, cut, the whole thing would change and the atmosphere in the room would change. And
I would run in with like ponies and ice cream for the kid because that is, it is so intense.
It's so intense.
No, he was drinking a coffee and smoking a cigarette in between takes. He's not, there's no ponies for this one.
No, okay. But the whole show, like there are moments where you can actually take a breath. But then I'm nervous to take that breath because something's about to happen. And it does. I told you off the air, the show terrified me. It freaked me out. And I can't wait for the next one.
Great. Great.
It's phenomenal.
That's what we're going for.
Well,
so awesome. I'm glad you
nailed
liked
it.
Oh, well, thank you. Tell me
I'm
more.
Always,
we'll see
I'm
you
always,
later. Thanks for coming.
I'm always interested, Robert, when you are creating a new universe out of whole cloth. You're the person who makes up the characters' names. You decide what city they live in. You invent WFKK radio.
What
yeah,
was the bell?
That was an accident. I was reaching for my notes. Bobcat Joe on WFKK radio. And you set the show in a small town in West Virginia. Any
mm-hmm,
particular reason? Because I find Appalachia kind of creepy by itself.
Yeah.
Even
yeah,
without Satan, I find Appalachia pretty creepy. I'm wondering why you chose that area.
I mean, I grew up in that area. It's it is very terrifying at night. You know, if you're on a small country road and you're driving to a place that you don't know exactly how to get there, it's absolutely unnerving. And you know, stepping out of civilization is always a little scary, getting into more rural areas where there's a lot more unknown going on. But the reason I chose to set it in that atmosphere is because in the daytime, it's absolutely beautiful. It's like living in a painting. You just walk out in any direction and you look at stuff. And even when you're in the little towns and stuff, everything's so quaint and beautiful. And there's really like a warmth to it and a humanity to it. And because we're going to be spending times in dark rooms, you know, doing exorcisms, I feel like the thing that we're able to do, because this is a television show, we don't have to keep the tone dark and intense for the entire 2 hours of a movie. We're able to play with expectations and bring things down and take it to a more peaceful place. And the fact that, you know, Kyle and Reverend Anderson are in this room doing this exorcism, and then they walk outside and there's this nice stream by the house they're in, and there's mm-hmm. these beautiful trees. I think it just shows just how dangerous this world is, that this evil entity can be behind any door, you know, hiding in any nook and cranny of this really, you know, beautiful place.
I'm going to look at Thomas Kinkade portraits differently now. Right? What is going on in that
right.
house?
In those little houses with those yes. pretty lights in the front. Did you grow up hearing a lot about God and the devil? Is that just part of being in a small town in that part of the country, is where you were early on exposed to those ideas?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's actually, you know, coming from Kentucky and moving out to California, it's, you know, it's an everyday part of life. You meet someone and the first thing they'll say to you is, so what church do you go to? You know, and that's not something that happens out here. It's godless heathens. Yeah, you're godless heathens out here. It's yeah. disgusting. I take a bath every time to get back to my house. Just rubbing shoulders with you people is the worst. I'm glad everyone's listening to this on their way to work. This is a lot of fun. I love this place.
Robert Kirkman is here in our final moments talking about Outcast premiering tonight at 10 on Cinemax. So you mentioned you are 20 books deep on this. So mm-hmm. how much of that will we see over the course of season one? How much of your work will they adapt for the TV in season one?
The only thing I'll say is less than that. I think if I gave a specific number, you'd kind of be able to map out where the season goes. But we won't cover the books that are already out in the first season.
Okay. So next season, then, they're going to be going on without you. They're going to be getting ahead of you.
No. Next season, we'll have 20 or 30 more books out. It'll be fine.
Okay.
we're neck and neck, but I'm telling you, we're keeping pace. It's all going to work out. It's going to be great.
You do type fast, though. That's the one thing you've got on your side, right?
Yes. It's these comic book artists you got to worry about. Those guys are putting actual work in as opposed to just moving their fingers over a keyboard.
Well, you've gotten this episode airs tonight on TV, but it has kind of been leaking out intentionally over the past few weeks. Like, you put it up in other – people have seen it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. We've done Cinemax has done a lot of promotional stuff to make sure that people are aware of this show, and there's a lot of great opportunities to be able to check this thing out if you don't have Cinemax. If you don't have Cinemax, you can check out – it's on YouTube. If you go to watchoutcast.com,
oh, great.
It'll tell you it's on YouTube, Facebook, a lot of places. So you can watch the first episode of this even if you don't have Cinemax.
Great.
But if you have a Nielsen box, I'm begging you, please watch it on Cinemax,
do.
Or at least
please
just
do.
Turn your television on tonight.
Have you been
great.
Surprised at all by any of the reaction from the people who have seen it early? Is it landing the way you expected it would, or has something the audience has told you back been a surprise to you?
I mean, it's I'm really flattered with all the, you know, people seem to really like it, and it's hitting all the right notes that we tried
great.
To hit, and I love that people are catching on to, like, the you know, just the drama and the undercurrent of it. It's not just an exorcism show, and I think, you know, that's great that people are seeing that.
Well, it's certainly to your compliment. I mean, just like you did with zombies, you have figured out to take something – you figured out a way to take something that we've seen dozens of times before and put a completely fresh take on it, and it is really, really good, Mr. Kirkman, so congratulations.
Sir. On to werewolves.
On Wolves Indeed. Outcast tonight at 10 on Cinemax. Let's give it up for Robert Kirkman. Thanks for stopping by,
sir. Thank you so much.
World famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, Friday morning. Last hour we talked to Joshua Dunn, drummer for 21 Pilots. He was on to announce a second show for their band at Honda Center February 16th. So now they're playing the 15th and 16th. And tickets are going on sale at 10 o'clock this morning for both shows through LiveNation.com. We are going to give you tickets to one of those Honda shows at 9 o'clock this morning. So keep on listening for a chance to win those, to see 21 Pilots in Anaheim, and also to be eligible for the grand prize drawing to see them at the Reading Festival in England. It's K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016, destination number 2. That is coming up at 9 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. Allie, you ready to talk to the next president of the United States?
No.
Hit it, Steve.
He's a guy you love to hate. It's time for the Trump date.
Sit down.
Donald J. Trump. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
You are incredibly, incredibly lucky to have me right now on your show. I envy you. I wish I was you so I could talk to me.
Now, why do you say that? Because you're on every radio and television show in America all the time, always.
I should be, because I have the best ideas.
You do.
And I'm going to make America great again. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I'm the best.
You literally are the easiest interview in the world to get.
I am. But the only problem is that it's just not me talking, because that's what it should be. It should be me talking and no one else.
No one else.
No questions.
Because
these reporters keep asking questions, and they are the worst. And I know a lot of people, and they are the worst people in the world.
Okay.
They are scum. They're sleazy. And I know, because I am very sleazy, but they are the sleaziest people you ever want to meet.
In the media's defense, though, they had some legitimate questions about your accounting, about this money that you supposedly donated to the veterans groups, and it looked like, upon investigation, that you really hadn't donated it at all.
The only problem with me is I'm too great. It's too hard. It's too hard to be this great, because people are jealous, is what they are, and they come at you. And they attack you, and I know. Shut up. Sit down.
No one's saying anything.
Oh. In my mind, people are saying things.
Oh, dear. Literally said to a reporter that asked you, are you going to be this contentious if you become the president? And you said, absolutely, yes.
Worse. I'll be so much worse. I'll be so much worse when I'm president that a reporter, if they ask me a question, I'll probably have him killed.
Okay,
well,
but
that's
why,
not
but
okay.
is it part of being working for the people, being the president, I think, is accountability, and the press keeps you accountable.
But what's the point of giving so much money to the veterans? And I did. It was an enormous amount of money. I was great about it.
Uh-huh.
What's the point of giving money to veterans if you can't ask them to kill some people for you? That's what they do. They're
not
killers. That's what they do. They're supposed to kill. So I'll be killing reporters. It's going to be awesome.
Let's
not
do that.
Amazing. There'll be so many dead reporters. You won't believe it.
Okay.
You'll say, please, stop killing reporters, because we have just too many dead reporters in the streets.
I want to ask you about a couple of other things, sir. And again, thank you for coming on. And since the last time...
You're so lucky to have me.
So lucky. Yes, since the last time you were on the show, you told an audience in Fresno that there is no drought in California.
It's true. Go. Shut up. Sit down.
Okay.
Go to your bathroom. Go to your kitchen sink. Turn on the water. What do you get? Water. It's amazing. Listen, I know water. I have some of the best water in the world.
But
this is amazing water, and California is lousy with it. There's so much water, they don't know what to do with it.
Okay,
I've been to the beach. Have you seen all that water?
Yes.
A ton of it.
That's seawater,
though.
That's
the ocean.
I see water. Do you see water?
No, it's the ocean, though.
Literal.
Look, California... is 90% of the state is in a drought emergency right now. There is no water in California.
75% of the planet is made up of water.
Okay,
so
but again,
open up
that's,
a book. Learn something.
But it's ocean water, though. That's not water that you can drink.
It's the same. Water is water.
Okay.
H2OCL.
All right. Allie, you had a question about Lion Hillary, too. You wanted to get on with Mr. Trump.
Don't get me started with her. She's a liar. She's awful. And I know a lot of awful liars, but she is the awfulest liarist. Bigly.
Okay. You tweeted her this morning and said, in Crooked Hillary's teleprompter speech yesterday, she made up things that I said or believe, but have no basis in fact.
Yes.
Not honest.
Crooked.
But she responded to you saying you literally said all those things and then mapped out in each interview when you said them. So seeing that response, don't you see that you're actually saying those things?
But literally, what does that even mean? I literally don't know what that means.
It means it's fact. Literally, you
said
these
things. But I say so many things. Who can keep track of all the things that I say? It's ridiculous. Nobody's listening to every little thing I say and writing it down. It's stupid.
But see, they are.
But they are, though.
I have some of the best words.
But
I have so many words. They keep falling out of my mouth. I have no idea what they mean. So how can she hold me accountable for things that I say? It's ridiculous. When I'm president, I'm going to say so many things that I have no idea what they mean, and I will not back any of it up. It's going to be amazing.
I actually believe you.
I believe that.
That's the first thing you've said that I said, yep, he's telling the truth.
Thank you. Vote for me.
Sit down. Comedian Ben Gleib returns on the Kevin DeBean Show coming up right after the top of the hour, along with your 21 Pilots tickets for Friday morning. Here's Ralph Garman now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
Lip sync battle, right? The way that people pretend to be singing, but they don't. They just lip sync. How is that still an actual show?
It's a hit show.
It's not just a segment on The Tonight Show once in a while.
It's a hit television show.
It's a weekly program that people tune in and watch.
Listen, I like the lip sync. I think there's some humor in the lip sync at a party when you're drunk.
Wasted.
Right?
Yes.
Not a show.
Not a show.
Never.
It's a monster hit. And next week's edition will pit Star Trek Beyond star Zachary Quinto and Zoe Saldana against each other.
Oh.
So it's Uhura versus Spock. Lip syncing. It's got everything.
No.
It has everything.
It doesn't have anything.
It doesn't have anything. It really doesn't.
They promise a special one-hour lip sync battle.
Oh, good. It's an hour.
That will also feature surprise A-list celebrity guest stars. Oh,
I will say, and I've never seen 5 seconds of this show, but I will say I am consistently impressed by the caliber of stars that agree to go on and do the show.
Yeah.
Because
they're big hammy performers and they want to do it because it's fun when you're a big hammy performer. I think it's much more fun to do than it probably is to watch, I would think.
Yeah. And they put a lot into it.
Yeah, there are a lot of costumes and things and stuff.
I just don't care at all.
Anyway, I just want to give you a heads up. If you want to see Spock and Uhura, go at it.
Well, it's a lifelong dream.
Right.
What song do you think they'll do?
That George Takei song. Remember that George Takei song? So he was in Star Trek, right? Didn't he have a hit song they could lip sync to? Chip? Wasn't that?
How great is male ass?
I think that's the one. By the way, the new trailer for Star Trek Beyond gives me hope. The first one took the hope away.
Yeah.
The second one has given it back.
Oh, really? No, I didn't see the second one. The first one was all Fast and Furious-y, right?
Yeah. It was all motocross and big trucks and coke busts and stuff. It had nothing to do with Star Trek, yes.
Okay.
But this one looks very Star Trek-y.
Oh, good.
And people actually talking to each other and stuff, so. I think there's hope. Take hope! You guys were just talking to Robert Kingman there about scary stuff. How scary is Stephen King's It? Right? It.
Yeah.
New Line Cinema is putting together a reboot of the Stephen King novel, It. I think this is going to be awesome. Because here's the thing. The TV version was terrifying for what it was. I mean, Tim Curry as Pennywise, legendary performance.
Hey, how you doing, Billy?
Oh.
Come on down here. We got lots of balloons.
Remember him?
Oh,
it was the best. But this might be better because what they're going to do is... that film had to do a lot of flashbacks back and forth because the premise of the book is there's a bunch of kids, the Losers Club, who get together and they have to battle Pennywise and they get rid of him, but then he comes back when they're adults. Yeah. So they're talking about doing two films, one about the kids against Pennywise and then a second film about the grown-up characters against Pennywise. That's a great idea.
I think it's too much Pennywise.
No, I can never get
like
too much Pennywise.
Yep, you can.
I know a lot of people, Ralph, say that they are afraid of clowns. Do you think a large percentage of that is as a result of Pennywise? Do you think that's the one that...
I think that fear existed beforehand, but I think Stephen King, master of horror, capitalized on it. He took that fear and then extrapolated it out to this terrifying character.
Hey, come on down here. Oh, we got lots of fun down here, Jimmy.
Or whatever his name was.
Skippy. Tubby.
It appears to be upsetting Allie very much to have you.
Yeah, it's fun. She's cringing. It's very entertaining. Hey, happy National Donut Day, everybody.
And to you as well.
Just want to make sure we get that in. Speaking of terrifying, horrible, awful things, The Chive, thechive.com. Familiar with thechive.com? Mm-hmm. It's mostly just shots of side boob and things like that.
Yeah, I support it.
I'm sure you do. You creeped out Megan Fox so quickly on this show.
I didn't creep her out. I said, how are you doing? That's all I said.
Oh, my Lord. She was so creeped. You are creepy. I realized that we need Kevin here to sort of just to siphon some of the creepy off.
Like a creep buffer.
He is a creep buffer. Without Kevin, it's just creep. It's just straight creep. You can't take straight creep.
Yeah.
It's like streep. It's like creep concentrate. It's like, you know, orange juice concentrate and you get those frozen orange juice concentrates.
You have to add the water.
You have to add the water. You can't just drink
Kevin's
that.
Water.
Yeah. You can't defrost a can of Minute Maid concentrate
like
and just guzzle
pulpy
it.
Bean.
Oh, it's too much. Too. It's thick.
Oh,
it's
thick. And I'm bad. And I'm Mr. Bad Example.
It's
I see.
Thick,
I got it.
Pulpy bean.
Yes.
You don't want to down some thick
that.
Pulpy bean.
No one does.
You gotta put some water in.
I didn't creep her out, first of all.
Way creeped. Yeah.
Why do you bring up Megan Fox?
I don't. I was bringing up to the Chive.
Right.
The Chive website. Okay, yeah. Try to follow along, Bean, for God's sake.
All right. Well, can you diagram this sentence for me? You lost me.
They've got a new
online
poll. You can go and vote on the most despicable characters from TV and film. Great list. Great list of horrible, despicable, hated, most hated characters in film and television.
Well, it's got to be.
Let me give you the top
10
as it stands right now. Top 10. Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Horrible.
She's an awful woman.
Yes.
And that's a great film. John Doe from Seven. Kevin Spacey. Anyone ringing a bell?
Yes, of course.
He murders people, the seven deadly sins. Allie,
what's in the box?
That's Brad Pitt, yes, but John Doe was Kevin Spacey in that.
And it was Gwyneth's head. People were like, whoa.
Colonel Hans Landa from Inglourious Bastards. Right?
Bad dude.
Eighth on the
even
list.
For Nazis, he was a bad dude.
Right? Even Nazis would not want to dine with him. They would turn down invitations to dinner at his place. Mm-hmm. Denethor from Lord of the Rings. Awful. President Snow is sixth from The Hunger Games.
All right.
Cersei Lannister from Game of Thrones, fifth. Emperor Commodus from Gladiator. Commodus. Sounds like a toilet.
Yeah.
That was Lip.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Lip.
That's what his friends call him. Percy Wetmore from The Green Mile. Oh. He's doubly despicable because, first of all, he kills the little mouse, and then he married that 16-year-old. So he's twice as creepy.
That's right.
Dolores Umbridge from Harry Potter. Oh, she's awful. I hate her.
Who was she?
She was the teacher who takes over Hogwarts after Dumbledore.
Sure.
No, not Dumbledore. Yeah, Dumbledore's still there. Is he dead at this point? I forget. Anyway, she like she makes all those rules and stuff, and she was really bad.
But how is she worse than Voldemort in terms of despicable people?
Good question. You should go on Chive and vote now.
All right.
And number one, King Joffrey from Game of Thrones. So there you go. There's your most despicables.
Alexander the Great.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Imogen Poots, who's not despicable at all, by the way. She's lovely and talented. She's 27 years old today. Did you see that movie... Bogdanovich directed about the hooker who becomes an actress. Owen Wilson was also in it.
Oh, Pretty Woman.
No.
Oh.
Yes, I did.
It was very Woody Allen-esque.
It was very good.
And very entertaining.
She's funny that way?
Very funny. She's funny that way.
That's it.
That's it.
You're welcome.
That's it. And she was in it, and she was the lead, and she was terrific.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
27 years old today. And Anderson Cooper, who's also a hooker, who became a... newsman, apparently. That's
well,
his story.
That's the trajectory.
He's 49 years old.
I honestly have nothing more to talk to you about. I got to be honest. I try to be really polite to all my guests. I just think you're dreadful, and I honestly don't want to talk to you anymore.
Wow. He's
who
best.
Was that?
I want to see all of that.
Who was he talking to?
Who was it?
Was it
Taylor Swift?
It was some bad person in the news.
Taylor Swift. Yeah. That's a shame. Mm. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I want to thank Eric Hutchinson from Huntington Beach for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. You just won yourself some tickets for 21 Pilots at Honda Center February 15th. Tickets go on sale at 10 o'clock this morning for that show and the following night, February 16th. And you are also eligible for the Festival Flyaway 2016 Destination Number 2 to see the band again at the Reading Festival in England. Your chance to win coming up. Details at KROQ.com. Were you laughing at me, Allie?
Laughing at Ben Glebe pulling hairs off the microphone, and he's going to be there all day. Oh. It's disgusting.
Were they your hairs, Ben?
Nope.
Or
I don't think.
Guests?
Nope.
I've only been in here for about 15 seconds, so I doubt that I've shed that fast.
Do you think they were Robert Kirkman's hairs? Because if they were, I bet we could sell them on eBay to some crazy Walking Dead fan.
Yeah, I'm going to bottle these for sure.
Seriously,
yeah.
Because he was in right before you, Ben.
I heard that. I heard a lot of the interview. That was really cool.
He's a good dude. He's a real good dude.
Yeah, he seems great. I'd like to give more spoiler alerts out, can we? I don't know.
I didn't spoil anything.
You didn't spoil anything. I don't even watch the show. I read the comic book, and I like his stuff, but I don't keep up current with it because I just don't. I don't watch a lot of things.
Oh, no, this is his new show, Outcast.
This is Outcast.
Right, Outcast.
Premieres
tonight. I know.
He gave away a huge spoiler. But it's fine.
I didn't feel like I did. All right. Well, listen, let's talk about you now, my friend.
Sure.
Ben, I feel like you were just in a few weeks ago with Idiot Test returning on Game Show Network, and now you are back because you got a Showtime comedy special. Now, Neurotic Gangster airs tonight at 10. Is this your first one-hour TV comedy special?
It is. It is. I've been doing stand-up 16 years. I've been waiting for this moment. I'm very excited about it.
It is a dream of every comedian to have a one-hour comedy special on television. I mean, that is just – that's a real rite of passage, right?
It really is. I mean, I literally I was looking into, like, the black market selling organs to get to this place. And then luckily, I did not have to sell an organ. Showtime's like, save your organs. We're going to buy the special. And I'm like, thank God, because I was already on a dialysis machine.
Oh,
they're already.
So
you're invested, man.
Yeah, they really saved me in the nick of time. They found me in a wet basement.
Just in a tub.
Yeah.
In your opinion, if they had come to you 5 years ago and said, Ben, we've decided we want to give you a special, would you have been ready for it? Or are you glad it didn't happen then because you've been able to hone your craft so much more in the years since?
I would love to be zen about it and say that this is the perfect time, but I think this is overdue. No, I don't mean overdue. I mean, you know, nobody's owed anything, but I've been ready for a long time. I think part of why it took me a while to get a special on the air is because I do like a wide array of things. And even on stage in my stand-up, I don't have like one style or one go-to kind of joke. I do a lot of improv with the crowd and I talk – some of my stuff is dirty. Some is surreal. Some is more smart, social commentary. Some is just me getting exasperated, telling personal stories about eating pot cookies with my dad. It's all over the map and I like it that way. Mm-hmm. And I've been given the advice since I started, try to hone in on one style. I'm like, my style is that, is being this – mixture, just all the different things that go through my brain, so I don't want to fake that. But so I think it just took a little longer for the industry to figure out exactly like what I was doing.
Where'd you film it and how long ago?
Filmed it at the Lobero Theater in Santa Barbara, the oldest theater in California. It's beautiful. 600 seats. We had 13 cameras shooting it. We shot it a while ago, too. Because
I think that's where we were just talking off air about our mutual friend Brad Williams. I think that's where he shot his first comedy special.
We shot ours the same weekend, actually. It's been a long time because this legendary stand-up special producer, Scott Montoya, who's sold so many specials to TV over the years and tons to Showtime, he shot that weekend 6 specials. And it was Jay Moore, it was Dice Clay's,
wow.
Blue Room, it was me, it was Kirk Fox, it was Brad Williams, and mine was 5th in line to be edited, so it was a bit of a wait till I even got to see the footage. It was a long time.
How long ago? A couple years?
It was about a year and a half that we recorded it. I didn't see any footage for about 9 months or something. Then we edited it for a few months, and we went out and sold it and pitched it around, and then Showtime grabbed it up.
So your Reagan jokes are going to fly tonight.
Yeah, I've got this great opener about tear down that wall. And people, I think, are really going to get the analogy to Trump because it's luckily current again. So it's
You did get lucky, right.
Yeah, it really worked out.
So the dream of a one-hour special, besides the fact that for everyone who beat you up in high school for being a geek, you can call them up and say, hey, make sure you're watching Showtime tonight. I made it.
Yeah, they still don't take my calls. But luckily, I've moved on from them. And they sometimes hit me up on Facebook and poke at me, and I'm like, I'm not interested in that. I just had my 20-year high school reunion.
Oh, no.
Last weekend, I did go.
And? Oh.
I did go. And
all right, stop. Before you tell us about it, because I'm fascinated by this.
Yeah.
So this is what was going through Ben's mind as he was preparing to leave for the high school reunion. I'm going to own this room. I'm going to walk into a standing ovation because everybody has going to have been following my career from the beginning, and they're all going to be so impressed that they know a celebrity.
Yeah.
Is that what you thought?
That's what I thought. That is what I thought.
And how'd that go?
Crazily, it actually was kind of similar to that.
What?
Somehow everybody from my class was like following my career, watching me on TV. They all said, oh, we watch your game show with our kids. We love your stand-up. We used to love you on Chelsea Lately. It was a crazy amount of love.
I am stunned by that.
Really?
I thought the only way this story ends is then you get there and you can't find one person who had any idea that you went on to become a comedian. And every person comes up to me and goes, so Ben, what'd you ever end up doing with yourself?
No, it was incredible, actually. They even showed a highlight reel of my career on video.
What?
It was like I was getting the Lifetime Achievement Award. I guess the other students at my high school in our class just severely underperformed in the years since high school.
That's amazing. amazing.
They even showed a commercial for my Showtime special. They're like, Neurotic Gangster, June 3rd. And I'm like, this is, they're plugging my stuff. And I'm single at the moment. And I couldn't bear going with how well things are going professionally for me. I couldn't bear going back without a girlfriend. So I brought my ex-girlfriend, my hottest ex-girlfriend I could find. And she came with me. It was ridiculous.
Did you make her pretend that you guys were still dating?
I tried to get her to do that in the car. I didn't tell her that at first. And then in the car, I'm like, I think it'd be really fun if we just kind of pretend like we're together still. And she was like, no. An immediate no. She's like, I used to go to that high school. So how about we just like say we're friends now?
And I'm she doesn't want her legacy tainted with dating you.
That's exactly right. And I understand that. And I feel her on that. So what I did was I just obviously respected her wishes and was just very vague and sort of implied we were still together.
I think that's the way to play it. So was there a girl that you crushed on in high school that now you are the conquering hero returning for the 20th year high school reunion, and now you get a chance to, you know, have a second swipe at it?
Yes, there were about four of them there. There were four girls there that I had huge crushes on in high school that were at the reunion, and they all looked surprisingly really – all three of the four looked really good. One had gone a little bit downhill, but all four of them – were married with multiple children.
Yeah. Oh, ouch.
So, ouch, quite literally.
So, one of them couldn't have bothered to be single while you were coming back for the reunion. Come
right?
on, that's unfair.
It would have been nice of them to, like, think about me for a minute when slowly progressing their life on a path far behind what they wanted. They could have said,
one of those ladies could have said, all right, I'm 35 now and maybe I should get married, but you know what? I might hook up with Glebe at the reunion, so maybe I better stay single.
Holding out hope, you know? There was one girl even that I was sure was going to be there. She used to have a huge crush on me in high school. Whenever she would call me all the time and she'd always be playing Meatloafs, I would do anything for love in the background.
No, I love her.
She didn't even show up. I didn't even get that. I didn't even get that bit of side high school tale that I didn't want back then but would have happily taken now.
Sure. Did you get stand-up material out of this reunion? Because it sounds like it was primed for it.
I didn't get any, but I did get about 4 minutes of great Kevin and Bean stuff.
Yes, you did.
I was able to fill like a decent amount of this segment with that story, so it worked out pretty well.
I don't consider that filler at all, by the way. I'm fascinated with that.
It was really interesting. It was cool.
That's great.
And there were guys on the football team that I played the high school football team. I was horrendous at football. There were guys there who were on the team with me that all of a sudden were like really like sweet and like sensitive guys now and fathers. And they were like, man, it's just really great seeing your progress in your career. I'm like, you used to push me and tackle me and call me names. You're aware of this, right? He's like, look, I've had kids. I've been softened. And I'm like,
everybody grows up, man.
Everybody grows up, except for me, pretty much.
Except for comedians, exactly, because why would they? There's no reason to.
That's
all right, Neurotic
point.
Gangster is the special. It airs tonight on Showtime, 10 o'clock. Remember last hour when we were telling you that at 10 o'clock tonight you should be watching Cinemax to catch Outcast from Robert Kirkman? I was wrong about that. What I meant to say was you flip over to Showtime and you see yourself some Ben Glebe doing comedy, Neurotic Gangster. More with our guests right after this on K-Rock. Stand-up comic and the most popular man of the class of what year from Beverly Hills High, Ben?
I graduated in, sad to say, 96.
96. Most popular man from the class of 96 at Beverly Hills High. Ben Glebe in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. He is, of course, a podcaster, the host of Idiot Test on Game Show Network, and he has a comedy special debuting tonight on Showtime called Neurotic Gangster. You lost a bunch of weight recently.
Yes.
And originally I thought maybe you did it for your special, but now you've explained your special was filmed some time ago. So did you do it for the reunion? Is that why you lost all the weight?
No, it is not at all that. It is for the fact that I shot season 3 of Idiot Test recently, and I just – we had a lot of celebrity episodes, and all my celebrity friends came on the show, and I just felt in photos they were taking with me and posting that I just looked very bloated and fat. And then – I get 75% approval rights of the photos. I can kill 75% of publicity shots they take to promote the seasons, and I killed 75%.
Oh, wow.
Full set. Like, there was barely an angle that I didn't feel like I looked like a walrus hosting a game show. And
yeah,
so
TV is cruel to people.
It is.
Who have otherwise, they look fine in person. They have regular, normal-sized bodies, but you put them on TV, and all of a sudden, compared to everyone else who's on TV,
yeah,
they look like a fat slob.
Exactly. And I was just comparing it to my own self. And, like, season one, I lost a bunch of weight. Season two, I thought, I already have a hit show. Is anybody going to literally turn the show off, stop watching because I gained a little bit of weight? So I gained weight. And then season three, I just tripled down on that theory. I was eating fudgesicles and jelly beans every night in my house, skipping the first two meals of the day, and then just becoming a gluttonous sloth in the evening. And it really, really took its effect. I got to like 223 pounds, and I've just now, in the last 2.5 months, I'm down to 198.
Wow.
So okay, that's an improvement.
I've trimmed quite a bit.
Did you find it difficult to do? I know, you know, nothing's more boring than people talking about diets, but on the other hand, there are lots of people who their ears prick up and they go, how do you do it?
Yeah, it was not that hard. This is, I'm this thing called MyFit Foods. I'll give them a shout out. It's this place all over Southern California. You pick up and you get 5 meals a day. It's cooked by a chef, but it's just calorie restriction. I've gone from like eating probably 3,000 calories a day to 1,200 calories a day.
Wow.
And I'm not hungry, so I'm eating 5 meals a day, and I'm drinking water all day long. You're supposed to drink like 80 ounces a day. And the weight just sheds off your body. I have not worked out at all. They say work out with this. I said, no, thank you.
I'm too busy eating and drinking.
Yeah, I'm eating all day, all the time. And I'm just sitting there, and the pounds just shed off your body. I don't lift a finger. I mean, unfortunately, most of the weight loss has been from my penis, but...
Well...
What can you do?
They don't guarantee where it's going to come from.
Yeah,
so you gotta
yeah, I just want the number. I don't care where. I don't care how I look. I just want to be able to say under 2 bills. You know what
all
I
right.
mean?
Nice.
That's all I care about.
Now, at what point in your starvation diet did you decide it was a good idea to start rapping as a middle-aged white man?
I've been rapping for a long time. Something I just kind of do for me. Some people read or meditate.
All right.
I rap for myself. And I would start doing it on stage with my friend Ben Morrison, the great comedian. And he... He's an amazing beatboxer, makes beats. And we talked forever about actually like releasing a song and then an album and making a group. So we created a group called Ben's, because we're both Ben's.
All right.
And we dropped our first rap track last week. And while there are definitely funny lyrics throughout it, because we're both comedians, it's angry. I'm serious. The song is called Anti-Social Media, and it's me railing against how selfish people are on social media and how they don't retweet things they like, and they only do like and retweet dumb things and stupid things, things with babies and cats, and I'm not
so
a baby or a cat.
You're handling important issues.
I'm taking on a lot of big things, yes.
Right.
But more important than 90% of actual rap, which literally every single artist in the last 20 years of hip-hop is only rapping about their money and their cars and their girls and how many girls they have inside their cars made of money. So I'm going outside that box.
I think you just wrote a hit, by the way, just with those words.
That's
so
right.
So is there a part of you that hears rappers on the radio and thinks, legitimately, I can do that and I can do it better than that person?
There's not a part of me. There's my whole self that feels that. I believe that.
And that doesn't sound insane to you.
No, and every single person that I know in my life that I've mentioned this to in the last couple months says to me that exact thing. This doesn't sound insane to you?
But it should, though. It'd be like me watching football on Sunday and criticizing the quarterback and going, I could step in there and do that. I don't have those skills, and Ben, you don't have those skills.
No, but you don't know that. That's because you need to be a pristine finely tuned athlete to become a quarterback, but all you need to be a good rapper is be able to write great lyrics and have a silver tongue and be able to quickly rap. And I rap faster than anybody on the radio. The only people that I think rap faster than me is Nicki Minaj, Eminem, and Mac Lethal. It's probably about it. And no one even knows who Mac Lethal is.
We know who Mac Lethal is. We love Mac Lethal. We had him on the show a bunch of times.
So he's amazing. But
he's incredible.
I rap better than Drake.
Well, I rap better than Drake.
Come on. That's my point. It's like, I got so disillusioned. Just like, I'm not saying I'm so great, but like most popular music is just so dumb. I mean, Drake repeats one phrase for a month and a half, and it's a number one song. I got enemies. I got lots of enemies. That's the whole song. That's the whole song for 4 minutes.
You are getting heated right now.
I get very
now.
Upset
you
about
really
it.
Are.
I know. I don't know why.
Don't mess with comedy Ben's this art, month. Man.
I like some of my comedy that I recorded a while ago. I'm like, my rapping, you got to take it seriously. Let me at least say, on my stand-up special, my bits are all evergreen, and the stuff is still what I was working on my act up until just this week. So
okay.
You'll enjoy
right.
the special. Side
so
note.
I don't want to insult you because you're the best rapper in America today. But are people wrong then if they say that a middle-aged white guy cannot just decide he's going to start rapping and be better than most other rappers? I mean, is it too unrealistic for people to believe that?
Listen, people like to stay in boxes. They can say that. I'm not going to criticize them, but they're going to be missing the boat. You know, they're not going to be going on SoundCloud.com/Ben's and listening to our hit song that is rocking the world. And by rocking talking the world, I mean, you know, a solid 240 views.
Sure. Since the band is called Benz, why didn't you just get Ben Hoffman to be on it with you?
That's a good question. That's
right?
A very good question.
That would have been strong.
Well, the band's called Benz. We just couldn't get that URL, so we had to get Benz under the URL.
All right, give the SoundCloud address again, because I know people are going to want to hear this now that they've heard you talk it up.
Sure, it is soundcloud.com/Benz, B-E-N-S, no Z's. People say
the
other
car.
Z's.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Neurotic Gangster tonight, 10 o'clock showtime. What's your favorite bit, Ben? Which one are we going to be squealing with delight when we hear you start talking about it on the show tonight?
Well, I talk a lot about social media, and I've kind of touched on that now, how dumb people are, and makes us very narcissistic. But one of my most classic bits, and this special really is like the culmination of all my best stuff from my stand-up career so far, and it probably is about how people just perceive things so strangely. Like, girly drinks is something that men are not supposed to be able to drink publicly, and I can't fathom it, because since when? How do men screw up so badly we're not allowed to publicly drink delicious drinks?
Right.
Who made that rule? Right. Like, I'm a man, so I like the taste of beer and whiskey. But you know what? I also like the taste of being strawberries.
Mm-hmm. Why
or
not?
Apple tea.
Yeah, everybody loves
Yummy.
A good apple flavor.
Why not?
Are you telling me a real man can't have a flavor he loves in his mouth?
That is what the world is saying to you.
I mean,
Ben.
Literally, it makes no sense. A real man, get that flavor that I can't wait to have in my mouth away from my mouth. Somebody might notice it. Somebody might see me having a flavor I enjoy. It makes no sense. And then people start talking trash. You're drinking a delicious drink. Somebody comes up to you all the time. They're like, what's that, little girl? It is tasty, sir. That is a delicious. And what makes less sense than that is I drink smoothies all day long. Uh-huh. No one says anything
no one has
critical.
A good point.
I put alcohol in my smoothie, and now I'm a little girl.
There you go.
I'm getting drunk in my smoothie. That is gangster.
He is taking a stand on what's important, kids, and that is
it.
You better fight for your right to apple teeny.
Absolutely,
right?
You best.
Ben Glebe, Neurotic Gangster, tonight at 10 on Showtime. Always great to see you, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Same here, Bean. Thanks so much for having me.
Listen,
hey!
A pretty sweet time of day, minutes away from singing that song that gets us into the weekend,
and
right?
It's all me. I have the power.
You
I
do have the power.
It all. I can go as long as I want.
Well, I don't feel like you need to.
I can release you. I can release you into your sweet, sweet weekend, or I can just keep you hanging on endlessly. And hey, I control.
I'm with that guy.
Steve, cut it out.
Time for our final look at the show is being here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on? What's new? What's happening? What's the latest?
This is very exciting news.
Ooh.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes, the next vice president of the United States.
Jamie Kimborn.
Uh-huh.
As he is sometimes known.
Is?
Has a late night talk show.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You guys knew? That was
no.
My news.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, really?
That's on ABC.
13 years.
Yeah.
Oh. Really? Seems less than that. Okay. Just wanted to let you know. I was
what?
Very excited.
What
Jimmy's
got
a late night. Hold on. There's news from Jimmy. What is it?
Oh, that. Yeah, he is going to reunite the original cast of Ghostbusters.
Yay!
And have the new cast on as well.
Wow.
So it's going to be
a very special episode.
A celebration of Ghostbusters Day. The original 1984 cast, of course, minus the late, great Harold Ramis, will be there with the cast of the upcoming reboot on June 8th to celebrate Ghostbusters Day.
Wow.
Anniversary of the film's release.
We have Mr. Reitman on our show that same day.
I know.
How great is that?
Right?
Men.
Love it.
Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and Annie Potts will be on the Kimmel Show, joining the cast of the new Ghostbusters, Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones. Then they will battle to the death. So we will get to see which Ghostbusters is actually best.
Are
which
you
I think
sure
is the only real
part?
Way to settle it, really.
Because it sounds like maybe you just made that last
one. No, they're going to give them 2x4s with nails in them and a mace, an old medieval mace one person will get.
Really?
And another person will get a pitchfork.
It's very old-timey.
Very old-time battle. But that's how you want to do it. See who's who.
Well, that's a great hour of television. I'm excited and I would look forward to that.
Yes, I do too. Speaking of reboots... New Star Trek trailer I was talking about last hour. People are asking where you can see it. You can find it online. It's just called Star Trek Beyond number 2, trailer number 2. Very
Very hopeful now about that film, having seen that. Also hopeful about the new lip sync battle between Spock and Uhura. It's in the movie. There's a space lip sync battle.
No.
No, I'm kidding. No, it's on the smash hit TV show Lip Sync Battle, which is on Spike Television. Zach Quinto and Zoe Saldana will pit lip syncing against each other to see who is the champion, Mr. Spock or Lieutenant Uhura.
I know that you often accuse me of not understanding human beings and not getting the motivation that, for a lot of things that people do. But what's the draw to lip sync a song on TV? Like, what does Zachary Quinto wake up, and what's his motivation to want to do that? Like,
sell why? Tickets to Star Trek Beyond.
Really?
Yes. It's a smash hit show, of course. Promote.
People will go see that movie because they see him singing a Nirvana song or whatever he's doing.
I don't know if they will, but it would certainly put it top of mind. It'd be like, oh, Star Trek, yeah, okay, yeah. When that comes out, maybe I'll check that out.
All right.
No such thing as bad publicity. This is an odd showbiz story. Maybe we should do a call-in topic someday of odd funerals, because this would certainly qualify. Jennifer Aniston's mother, Nancy Dow, had an interesting service held in memory of her when she passed away. Sources tell In Touch magazine that 2 days after her death, her family and friends gathered at her apartment where her body was propped up in bed.
I think there are some cultures where that is not uncommon. Ours is not usually one of them.
I don't think that's cool.
Well, if you think about it, if you go to an open casket, like a wake type situation.
Right.
It's a bed, but it's a casket.
It's a body just laying there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not, you're not in the home of the person who's like
in
bed.
It's a lot.
You know, if you're in a funeral parlor and they're in a box, you're like, that, I definitely understand what's going on here. If I go to her apartment,
what if she's got the remote in one hand?
Right. You got a cigarette dangling out of her lips. She's watching Maury Povich. I mean, is she dead? Is this weird? Is she just alive? But what's happening? It's too confusing for me.
It's a lot.
Does it say in that report that that was her wish, or is this something that her family decided they wanted to do?
No, she didn't want it. They forced it on her. It's weekend at Bernie's, Bean. That's what it is.
No, what I mean is, whose idea was it? Was it the
it was late? Her idea.
It was her idea. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe Steve's got a point.
You know
whose idea
fun?
Do you think it was, Bean?
Right?
What ran through your mind?
What ran through my mind?
The apartment building saying, it'll be easier for me to rent to another tenant if they come in and see how comfortable this place is. Can we just prop up the body and make it look really homey? Because new prospective tenants really want to see what that lived in look. Can you leave the corpse for a while?
No. What went through my mind is there are two possibilities here. One is it was her wish.
Right.
What's the other
possibility?
Is that her kids or her husband or whoever's left gets behind and says, hey, how do you want to send off Meemaw? And then somebody said, Let's make it a party.
Like, she loved naps.
Because she would have loved to have everybody in her house having a party.
Staring at her dead in her bed. That's what she would have liked.
I don't know, man.
You don't know, man.
It's man. Possible, though. Just ask.
I just think you're terrific.
All right. Thank you.
Today's celebrity birth. Oh, no. I got to give something away. I almost forgot. I almost got out of today without giving away these amazing passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Conjuring 2.
Yay!
It's in theaters everywhere June 10th. You will get to see it early, my friends, at the Burbank AMC Theater on June 8th. Terrifying. Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson, reprise their roles as Lorraine and Ed Warren from the first Conjuring, of course. This time they're in North London trying to help a single mother with four kids rid herself of malicious spirits that are haunting her home. Franca Potente also stars in this film. Looks terrific. If you'd like to see it early, give us a call now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that phone number will get a pair of passes to the advanced screening of The Conjuring. All right. Now we can say goodbye with our celebrity birthdays. Anderson Cooper is 49 years old today. And actress Imogen Poots, one of my favorites. Charming, lovely, talented, and 27 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Enjoyed working with you and Allie and Chip this week. We think the monkey's going to be back on Monday, by the way. We hope.
No guarantees.
Good advice for you, though. On your drive home this afternoon, if you're out and around 5 o'clock, look for a commercial-free hour. It's a random act of helpfulness from the Southern California Honda dealers. That's good stuff right there. Next week, we have a fun week of shows lined up for you, including our friend Jensen Karp. He's going to be in studio with his new book, Kanye West Owes Me $300. We mentioned Ivan Reitman is coming in on the show next week. Donald Faison will be here. Jim Rome and the Bachelorette Report all happening next week.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So, another Friday is upon us.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
They never fail to disappoint.
Roll another one.
Okay, you don't have to put so much mustard on it.
Just like the other one.
How the hell did that turn into that?
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's a guy right there.
Another
hit. Sorry.
Roll another one.
Yeah, your mama won't like me.
Just like the other one.
You want my advice? Don't be a schmuck.
This one seems to be about ten.
There's a girl in the corner.
I don't have another cent.
I am Kevin.
But the one got that joint.
I don't know what that is. I feel weird.
Just pass it around.
I'm your man. My name's Dodo.
But the one got that joint, my friend.
Who is this person?
Has been dropped.
Well, that was completely useless.
You want to see what end times look like? You're seeing it right now.
Quite the racket you got going on here.
It's not a racket. It's an experience.
It's a pretty crappy experience.
Oh, God, deliver us, American, from evil.
Sorry, we're out of time.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Could everyone who doesn't absolutely have to be here please leave the room? Thank you.
Yes, what he just said.
Go Ducks. Bye, guys.